I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell the world about consciousness. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell the world about consciousness.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Hearing revolution in the air, tell the brothers of consciousness.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, and we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Morning Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400. That is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll free, long distance me, do that. You can do it. 1-877-920-WGNU. Ooh, we broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. And you can get my show every single day at whiterosesociety.org. That's whiterosesociety.org, where the show is downloaded or archived every day. You can download it. If you happen to miss an hour, go get an hour. Go get an hour. You can do that. You can do that. I want to talk about the trial that is going on in Philadelphia, Mississippi. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about how we how and I guess I really want to talk about it in context of in the context of last week's resolution on lynching. And you know, I want you all to hear the words that I use. It was not an apology. It was a voice vote on a non-binding resolution pertaining to lynching. You know, people want to, how do we say, suggest that they have done something for our society, that there has been efforts to right past wrongs. I have to look at Mississippi. I have to look at a couple of things about Mississippi. And Mississippi is not alone, but let's be clear that the jury on in Philadelphia, Mississippi, on the murder trial of Edgar Ray Killen. Is that like a group policy that all Klans members have names with Edgar Ray, Johnny Ray, Bobby Ray? Is that like some kind of internal rule or something? This guy's name is Edgar Ray Killen. He is a Ku Klux Klan leader. He recruited a mob to kill three civil rights workers in 1964, a year ago today. The jury has deliberated for 2 hours before they were split, saying that they're split 6-6, and of course in a criminal trial there has to be a unanimous verdict. Three men, all babies in their 20s, shot by a group of Klansmen on the outside of the Mississippi, eastern Mississippi, on June 21st, 1964. Their bodies were found weeks later in an earthen dam. Killen was the grand poobah of the Klan. He recruited members of this terrorist group to shoot the three workers. He told his boys to make sure you wear rubber gloves. He arranged to have the bulldozer ready to dig their graves and dump them in there like a dog. He directed the murder from its beginning to its end. And I just want to point out that in this trial, the things that are said about the world that we continue to live in. This murder was 40 years ago. 41 years ago, actually, today. 41 years after, We Shall Overcome. 41 years after the Civil Rights Movement. 41 years. Generations have come. And generations have gone in that those 40 years. And 41 years later, we have a United States Senate where the state of Mississippi, the state of Alabama, the state of Georgia, the state of Kentucky, the state of New Hampshire said, I am not going to sign on to an non-binding anti-lynching resolution. I'm not going to shine on to that. 41 years. 41 years after the murder. 41 years. We have a defense attorney saying that this, a defense attorney that is saying, yeah, the Klan was a bad group, but yet and still he put on Harlan Majua, who was the mayor of the Philadelphia in 1990. Not 1890, but 1990. Harlan said Edgar Ray Killen was a good old man, and that this part-time preacher's Klan membership would not change his opinion. Harlan Majur, the mayor of Philadelphia, Mississippi, in 1990 said, the Klan did a lot of good up here, and that he was not personally aware of the organization's bloody past. Do you hear what I am saying? In the year 2005, a mayor from the 1990s is saying about the Klan, the United States premier terrorist organization born in the United States, bred in the United States, and still lives in the United States. The mayor said, I am not a, the Klan's a peaceful organization. And in the early 1940s, a politically ambitious butcher from West Virginia named Bob Byrd, you know him, he's called Senator Robert Byrd today, a senator, by the way, who did not sign on to the anti-lynching legislation. Bob Byrd recruited 150 of his friends and associates to form a chapter of the Ku Klux Klan. After Byrd had collected the $10 joining fee and the $3 charge for a robe and hood for every applicant, the Grand Dragon for the Mid-Atlantic states came down to the tiny Crab Orchard, West Virginia office to officially organize the chapter. Bob Byrd, as a young Klan leader, went on to become one of the most powerful, enduring figures in modern Senate history. Throughout a half a century on Capitol Hill, Senator Byrd has twice held the premier leadership post in the Senate. But he was a member of the Klan. And what does Bob Byrd say about his membership? Bob Byrd says, and I quote, his membership, he refers to his membership as it. And he said, it has emerged throughout my life to haunt and embarrass me, and has taught me in a very graphic way what one major mistake can do to one's life, career, and reputation. Okay. Help me, y'all, because I don't know everything. I struggle just like you do. I struggle to get a grasp and an understanding of the world that we live in every day. I read, I write, I ponder. And despite all of my best efforts, I don't know everything. But please, so I need your help. I need your assistance. I need somebody to get my back on this one. Senator Robert Byrd, a man who has spent decades in arguably one of the most powerful positions that a citizen can have in the United States, a United States senator. It's powerful. It's lucrative. You determine with the stroke of your pen the quality of people's lives outside of the office of the presidency. It doesn't get any more powerful in the United States. It is so powerful that in the history of this country, that there's only been 3 black people ever in office, and one of them made it in the year 2004. One of them only got to serve 1 term. Both of them. So, when Robert Byrd says that, reflects back on his life and says that his Klan membership has taught him in a very graphic way what it can do to your life, career, and reputation, I have to say, what the? You a United States Senator, you've been one for all of your life. Where's the punishment piece in this? Where's the punishment piece in this? Where is the rocky road that your life has been on as a result of your Klan membership? Where are the we shall overcome moments in your life, or your swing low, sweet chariot moments in your life? Tell me how you suffered as a man who was a member of the Klan when you were elected, reelected, 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 time after time after time. Oh, I get it. The difficulty that you have, the struggles that you go through, is having to explain it. And oh, that must be H-E double toothpicks. That must be hard. It's hard work. Hard work. Having to say I was a Klan member. Hard work. Not like the hard work of the baby. Not quite like the hard work of the babies that were buried 41 years ago today. Not quite that hard. It's not so hard and so shameful that you could find a minute, Senator Byrd, out of your busy, 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 busy day. And as you struggle with the your career, your reputation, and your life, and this major mistake, maybe you could have found a minute or two, a second or two, a millisecond to sign on to an apology for a non-binding resolution. Apology about lynching. Maybe. It's hard. It's hard. Senator Byrd said, Klan member Byrd said, no, Klan organizer, he didn't just stumble into the Klan, let us be clear. He just didn't stumble into the old boys' hood organization. He recruited 150 of his friends to join and start a chapter. That's more than stumbling into it. He's 87 years old, has spent most of his life as a United States Senator. And he says, and I quote, I looked at the Klan as a useful platform from which to launch my political career. He described it essentially as a frat group of elites, doctors, lawyers, clergy, judges, and other, and I quote, upstanding people who at no time engaged in or preached violence against blacks, Jews, or Catholics. Huh? Y'all must have had some short meetings. But this is something that has taught me in a graphic way what one major, if it was a mistake to be a member of the Klan, how do you on the other side of it say? We were just a bunch of frat boys sitting around talking about politics. We didn't talk about black folks. We rented our hoods, though. We paid for the rent on our hoods. But we didn't talk about black folks. We didn't conspire against people of African descent. But it was a mistake. Why? If y'all didn't do nothing, why? Why was it a mistake? 87 years old, a foot and a half in the grave, and you're still lying. You're fixing on your way to see Jesus, and you're still lying. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have much to talk about. We have much, much, much to talk about.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Chevron Techron Concentrate. Eastbound 70 between 94 and the Blanchett Bridge. Major road construction has two left lanes closed. Traffic is slow approaching 5th Street. Northbound 55 at Richardson and Bayless. No problems to report. Eastbound 44 between the Mraz Overpass all the way into Big Bend. Everything looks good. Eastbound 40 from Boone's Crossing to Lindbergh. Everything's running smoothly. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Westbound 270 between Bell Fountain and New Florissant Road. Everything looks good. Westbound 255 from Telegraph to 55. Expect no problems there so far. Your bridges look like this. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge is slow. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way on to Laclede's Landing. No problems there. Westbound 64 before the 5570 merge. No problems to report there. Tesson Ferry at Glade Chapel and Goldman Spur, there's a report of an accident. Northbound 94 at Route D, there's a report of an accident as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Chevron Techron Concentrate. Don't forget to include Techron Concentrate as a part of your car's regular maintenance routine. It cleans up deposits to bring out the best in your car. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. For today, mostly sunny, a high in the upper 80s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 70s. Wednesday, partly sunny with a 30% chance of showers, a high around 90. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 70s. And then on Thursday, partly cloudy skies. The high should be in the mid-90s on Thursday. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under mostly clear skies, we have 70 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clear skies and 67 degrees. Stay tuned. More of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its event and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
with eHarmony, the matching process wasn't something that put any stress on me.
You get to see inside of the person before you see the person.
Imagine a process of finding the love of your life that doesn't require writing a witty paragraph about yourself for the world to see.
It wasn't about trying to be competitive with other people.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Imagine a place where you're matched based on who you really are.
You're not basing it on, you know, am I at the right bar at the right time?
With eHarmony, it felt more like people were truly interested in who I was as a person.
If you're ready for a better way to find your true love, graduate to eHarmony.com. Get your eHarmony personality profile and see for yourself how eHarmony.com can help you find the love of your life.
That term soulmate actually came to mean something.
It was just like absolute magic, like no other experience I've ever had in my life.
Shift your computer into overdrive, sports overdrive that is, at WGNU.net.
Hello, this is Minister Sammy Estelle Jr. Join me on the Singing Time broadcast, the first, third, and fifth Saturdays of the month at 5:30, and the second and fourth Saturdays at 6, for the Singing Time broadcast, featuring good gospel music, the latest church news, and also the Word of God. That's Singing Time with Minister Sammy Estelle Jr. right here on WGNU.
We're waiting for your calls at WGNU. From the local calling area, just dial 314-454-0400. If you're calling long distance, the toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you are calling long distance, from a car phone, or want to use a particular name on the air, please let us know when you call. Get into Talk Radio with a Difference. That's Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
ALS is a disease that can paralyze the body, yet the mind remains alert and clear. ALS is a disease that you can help fight, and all you need is your feet. The ALS Association, along with WGNU Radio, invite you to walk with us on Saturday, June 25th, at Steinberg Rink in Forest Park. To join the walk, pick up your registration forms at WGNU or register online at www.alsa-stl.org, or you can call 314-534-0610. We'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday, June 25th, at the Walk to Defeat ALS.
This is a message to all those who've been trying to reach the top of the hill on that ladder of success.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Isn't it interesting that we have the continued justification, defense, of the Klan? We don't have an apology for enslavement. We don't have an apology for a failure to do to pass legislation for against lynching. We don't have reparations for the wrongdoings. We don't even have the acknowledgement of the wrongdoing. And in the year 2005, we continue to have a justification and a defense of the Klan. Senator Byrd, for 40 years, has slaved at being a United States Senator. And with 1.5 foot in the feet in the ground, this 87-year-old man right before he's getting ready to go shuffle off his mortal coil, says to the world, well, the Klan pretty much was a fraternal group of elites, doctors, lawyers, clergy, and judges, and other upstanding people who at no time engaged in or preached violence against blacks, Jews, or Catholics. I can't even begin to describe how far we have to go with this nation. I can't even begin to describe how far we have to go in this nation. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine. How are you?
I don't know where to start. First of all, if they did no harm, if they preached no harm, why did he even have to specify the groups that they preached no harm against?
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, think about this. He might call it a youthful indiscretion, but 41 years ago, he was still 46 years old. He was old enough to be the father of any one of those boys.
There you go.
And remember, too, I hope...
No, this was in 1940.
I know what you're saying, but
okay. Like
I said, 41 years ago, he was still 46 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it's people like this that make me hope there is such a place as hell.
No, he was 20-something. If you do the math on it, in 1940, that's 1940, 40?
No, I got what you're saying.
Okay.
But I'm saying at the time of these murders,
okay.
He was in his 40s. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
So this was not a youthful, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I was belonging to.
Oh, you're talking about the killer.
Right.
Okay, gotcha.
And I hope that there is...
I thought you were talking about Senator Byrd. Okay.
I hope there is a hill. I hope they crank it up 10 degrees hotter for both of them.
Mm.
And remember, too, see, there's something that they're not talking about in this story, because I remember this situation. They dug up that earthen levee to find these boys. And at the time, they drug a riverbank.
At the time, they found
dozens of bodies
right.
of black men.
That's right.
That had gone unaccounted for.
That's right. And still, we don't know who they are.
Still
today.
Don't know.
Still
and
don't.
And
the river it runs red.
Yes.
The river runs red.
And let's remember somebody else too in all of this. I never will forget Miss Liuzzo, Viola Liuzzo, a Detroit housewife, who went down there to help out with the movement. And do you know the FBI actually sued her family? They actually went after her family because the family wanted to open an investigation.
And here's the other piece of this story, and this is why folks need to tell their own stories. Mississippi Burning was a dreadful movie.
Yes, it was.
It was a lie all the way around. From frame to frame.
The FBI was not our friend.
No, they weren't. And the movie marginalized or dismissed any black people. It's like the only people fighting for civil rights in the South were white folks.
Yes.
And the FBI wasn't anybody's dang hero.
No.
Because the FBI could have brought this case, or could have pushed this case 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago,
right.
40 years ago. And they didn't.
Goodman,
and they didn't.
Cheney, and if I remember right, Mickey Schferner had just gotten married before he left. They were from New York, if I remember right.
Mm.
Cheney, I think, was the brother. He was the one from Mississippi who was the local organizer there.
Mm.
These men, they should be in their 60s now.
Mm, they should be.
Enjoying their lives with their grandchildren and their families.
That's right.
They're dead for nothing.
That's right.
I have no sympathy for this old...
But interestingly enough, the jury is split 6-6.
How can you be split on something like this? Yeah, this one, they could have phoned this in. Everybody know all day long. I mean, this is just like digging up Emmett Till.
Mm-hmm.
For what?
That's right.
You already know that they done confessed in Life magazine.
There you go.
And got away with it.
Thanks for your call, Andre.
Thanks.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. We're going to take a break, folks. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. You can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about.
You better hold the phone. Never mind your manners. Better change your tone. Don't you threaten me, son. You got a way to go. We want to do things my way.
Jazz in heaven. In New Orleans, we know they do.
If your family hasn't been to New Orleans, y'all haven't lived. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan your trip to Six Flags New Orleans, Audubon Zoo, Aquarium of the Americas, and more. Hop on a new canal streetcar line, see gators up close, and roll in a riverboat down the mighty Mississippi. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today for great hotel rates and a free Good Times guide with more than $2,400 in coupons. And jazz up your family's next vacation in New Orleans.
You know, if there's a paradise, it's an afternoon in Jackson Square. But if they play jazz in heaven, darling, it's standing room only up there.
NewOrleansOnline.com, happening every day.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline New York. Talk show host Rush Limbaugh has put out a new line of T-shirts, caps, and coffee mugs. These promotional items make fun of the Guantanamo Bay detention camp and portray it in the light of a holiday resort. One of the lines on the shirt says, "My mullah went to Club Gitmo and all I got was this lousy T-shirt." Another says, "Your tropical retreat from the stress of jihad." Last year, Limbaugh said the mistreatment of prisoners was nothing more than the guards having a good time and blowing off some steam. Limbaugh even posts the weather forecasts of both Baghdad and Guantanamo Bay on his website to make out how resort-like the conditions at the prison are. And Dateline New York. A member of the Bush administration who doctored government climate reports in order to play to the interests of big oil has now resigned to take a job at ExxonMobil. A report in the New York Times earlier this month said that Phil Cooney made changes to reports prepared by the White House Council on Environmental Quality in an effort to downplay the connection between global warming and carbon emissions, and to also question the validity of research on climate change. A number of the changes he made to the reports involved slight changes in wording to cast doubts on the conclusions of what is already known about climate change. Cooney has no training in science, and before he became chairman of the Council on Environmental Quality, he was a lawyer and lobbyist for the American Petroleum Institute, the main oil lobbying group funded heavily by Exxon. That same oil company figured mightily in the Bush administration's decision to oppose the Kyoto Protocol on global warming. That was an agreement that sets out some mild standards for reducing the amount of carbon dioxide emissions worldwide. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Shopping is more than just spending money on necessities. It is a truly energizing experience. I plan on recharging my shopping batteries by attending the St. Clair Fine Arts and Crafts Fair, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights, Friday, June 24th through Sunday, June 26th. I can shop to my heart's content for fine jewelry, framed works of art, clothing, quilts, and sculptures. Then I can check out new original artwork, candles, home decor, and photographic arts. I especially like meeting my favorite artisans and crafters and the top independent vendors in the area. I've even heard there will be exotic animals for sale. Do join me, won't you, at the St. Clair Fine Arts and Crafts Fair, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights, Friday, June 24th through Sunday, June 26th. Sponsored by Custom Cage Works and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more information at www.spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Why don't we
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
It's quite amazing. Can you imagine the type of bills that were passed with Strom Thurmond and this guy Bird and God knows whoever.
Jesse Helms. Jesse Helms.
Yeah, Jesse Helms. Oh, good point, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And on and on and on, that those individuals, and now they're trying to play down the magnitude of what the Klan was all about, trying to humanize it. Right before, like you said, before they go see the Creator, like, this is going to make amends. And then speaking to that Hollywood thing, you said, like, Mississippi Burning. That's why I don't go see programs like that propaganda. That and Amistad and all of that trying to show that
Amistad sucked.
Oh, that was a joke.
It
should have been a comedy, you know, as far as the, but see, they are putting that out there for those that would believe that the white man was very positive and polite toward us. But so I just wanted to put that out there to say, just think of the amount of senators that haven't come out and the bills and the legislation and the laws that were passed by these. You know what, so much for that. Have a good day, honey.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Korean veteran. Good morning.
Well, I was thinking along the lines that you were, and on this trial and everything, this is just about what I expected. I didn't expect that they would try to, you know, to come out against him. But the thing, I don't know whether you had an opportunity to see the host on Hardball, MSC, when they interviewed Condoleezza Rice about the apology and everything, and it was really sad, and I'm telling you, to watch the way she skirted around, you know, they trying to act like she almost admitted, went along with them, that was a great step, you know. And she didn't touch anywhere near what we think or what you've said about it, you know, because she won't act like this was a great thing just before she went to the East. But I do just want to say this. They have passed laws, Ms. Brown, protecting birds, animals, and fish and all of that being on the endangered list and so forth. And they still refuse to pass the anti-lynching law. This guy Bolton was spying on Colin Powell. I mean, he wanted to get him, so you can speak on that for me.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to just comment on this Klansman that's on trial. I think his name was Killen. You know how they seem to refuse to use the word terrorist? It should be a terrorist on trial. And even up until today, they skirt around the word terrorist. If the definition of a Klans person is a terrorist. And I never will forget the time when the Muir building was blown up in Oklahoma City. And at the time, Clinton was president. And he came out, his face all shrewd up. And he said he thought at that time there was some outsourcing had done it. are we going to get the terrorists? We'll get these terrorists, and we're going to put them away. We won't stop till we get these terrorists. And when he found that out that it was Timothy McVeigh, a homegrown terrorist, he never used the word terrorist again. So that's what I want to say. These are terrorists, and we should call them terrorists. And they're not through. I mean, they're among us today, alive and well, and in the youth group. I was watching Dateline last week, and they did a story about some young people, and they call, they're clever now. They call themselves the 311s. And
okay.
They found out that they were 11s. When you look it up, it's like in the alphabet, 11 would be K. And they're the Klan, the 311s, the KKK. So they're cleverer now.
Thanks for your
call.
They're
among us.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Good news coming from the Democrats. Well, starting with some African elected officials. As the party attempts to find its voice on Iraq, roughly 50 liberal-minded Democrats have formed a caucus dedicated to calling for the withdrawal of U.S. troops. They are called the Out of Iraq Caucus. The Out of Iraq Caucus, created last week, their job will be to try and increase the pressure on the Bush administration and Congress to end the Iraq conflict and bring army forces home. Guess who leads it? Maxine Waters, Lynn Woosley, and Barbara Lee. 454-0400 is my phone number. Ed, good morning.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding.
Okay. David Duke, remember when he was running for the nomination for Republican presidency?
Uh-huh.
And obviously at that time, to try to be mainstream, he renounced the Klan and all of that stuff before he went to jail. And one of the things that he said that will resonate with me, he says, before he ran for that, he gave a speech to the Klan before he renounced them, and he said something to the effect that we should put away our sheets and we should put on three-piece suits and get elected to office. And isn't it interesting that he chose the Republican Party to run under? But I think, if you look at it for what it is, they've put away their sheets, and they are now trying to be mainstream, but still with the same basic core philosophy that they are the masters or the master race or whatever.
Absolutely.
That's my comment.
Absolutely. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And I quote, Robert Byrd has written a new book. It's a memoir called Child of the Appalachian Coalfields. It'll be published, I believe it'll be tomorrow. It's a 770-page book. And he says, he describes the Klan as a useful platform from which to launch his political career. He described the Klan essentially as a fraternal group of elites, doctors, lawyers, clergy, judges, who at no time engaged in or preached violence against black people. And like I said, your meetings must have been mighty short. If that was the case, the mayor who testified in the trial of this terrorist who killed those civil rights babies 41 years ago today, he's a local realtor, and he has said, I've never said the Klan is a good group. He says the Klan is a good group. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Yes, Liz. This is a registered voter call.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to remind everybody that the Klan symbol and was used and raised in most lynchings I used to receive the Pittsburgh Courier and the Chicago Defender in those days. And standing in the background tall was the Confederate rebel flag.
There you go.
That's a good reason that it should not be, as they attempt to sanitize it as Southern heritage, it should not be allowed to fly on public property today.
Thanks for your call. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
Peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that. I will never say that progress is being made. If you took a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound. That's the blow that's the...
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. Jurors in the Mississippi burning murder trial are due back in court this morning to try again to reach a verdict. They declared themselves deadlocked yesterday. ABC's Mike Bonfremd is there.
The jury is still deliberating, but before sending them to their hotels for the night, the defendant, Edgar Ray Killen, learned that the 12 jurors have taken several votes, and each time they've come back deadlocked, 6-6. That put a smile on the 80-year-old defendant's face.
The search continues in Aruba for missing Alabama student Natalie Holloway. ABC's Jim Hickey joins us live from the island with the latest developments.
While an all-volunteer team from Texas has been invited by a member of the Holloway family to come here to Aruba and help in the search for the 18-year-old teenager from Alabama, the team called Texas EquiSearch is making arrangements to come here as early as this week. Meantime, an Aruban party boat disc jockey detained in connection with Natalie's disappearance has been ordered held in jail for at least another week. No one has yet been formally charged in this case. Karen?
ABC's Jim Hickey live in Aruba. Iraq's justice minister announced that Saddam Hussein's war crimes trial will be over by the end of the year. However, the government has not yet set a start date for it, and court proceedings could delay the crucial crafting of Iraq's constitution. What will the White House do now that the Senate has blocked the president's nomination of John Bolton as U.N. ambassador for a second time? ABC's Linda Douglas has some predictions.
The conventional wisdom is that the president would make a recess appointment, that is, appoint Bolton to the position while Congress is in a recess, say, over the 4th of July, a very short recess. It's a holiday where they go back to their home districts. This has never been done with the ambassador to the United Nations, but he absolutely has the right to do that. And then Bolton would serve in that term without confirmation of Congress till the end of next year.
And Dr. Robert Stewart, a prominent Cleveland heart transplant surgeon, is making a career switch. At age 56, he's joining the Army, saying he's wanted to serve his country since 9/11. This is ABC News.
My name is Sarah, and when I was about 17, I started Fry Farms. I sold our first load of pumpkins to a local Walmart. And one by one, my brothers came home from college to join me in the business. 10 years later, we're selling millions of cantaloupes, watermelons, and pumpkins that can be found in Walmart stores across the nation. Walmart appreciated the quality of the local produce, and the rural communities have thrived because of our business with Walmart. It makes me feel great. I love it.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine?
Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon. Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making...
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste.
And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
Investigators searching for clues in the credit card security breach have found some online. ABC's Aaron Katursky explains.
It's still unclear how many of the 40 million credit card accounts exposed to potential fraud were actually stolen. But ABC News has found some of the information already for sale on the Internet.
We saw a lot of chatter in Russian chat rooms over the weekend talking about this as a big win for the good guys, you know, the electronic crime groups.
John Waters of the Internet security firm iDefense says the market for account numbers is sophisticated and profitable. One site we saw unabashedly hawked misbegotten credit cards, offering good quality, lowest price, fast delivery. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
The new Harry Potter book hasn't hit the shelves yet, but it has hit the bestseller lists for Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. Both sites have been inundated with pre-orders for Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. Barnes & Noble officials predict orders will top 1 million.
I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
St. Louis, this is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, the news is promising for Scott Air Force Base, but the same cannot be said for all of Illinois' military facilities. At a hearing of the Base Realignment and Closure Commission in St. Louis yesterday, Illinois officials testified in support of the installations set to close or relocate, among them the Rock Island Arsenal based in the Quad Cities. Since the arsenal draws many of its employees from Iowa, the delegations from Illinois and Iowa testified jointly yesterday in its favor. Supporters of preserving the arsenal say it has helped to save the lives of troops in Iraq through its refitting of new armor for vehicles. Funny man Bill Cosby's serious comments on the actions and speech of lower-income African Americans have created controversy for more than a year, but they have also been the spark behind a series of discussions nationwide. Cosby stopped in St. Louis last night for the latest of his call-out meetings, and he urged low-income minorities to stop settling for the status quo.
How many years way back have our leaders said that the danger is for us to become so complacent that we begin to just rely on somebody sending us a check that we have settled on?
Several area residents joined Cosby on last night's panel at Harris Stowe State University. Among them was community activist George Cotton, who last school year organized a group of men to mentor at-risk students through the Reclamation Project in response to fighting at Fashan High School. The recent increase in seismic activity has some people concerned that the big one may be coming. Michael Wisession, an associate professor of geophysics at Washington University, says people shouldn't be overly worried because earthquakes happen all the time. Wisession says the quakes usually happen in the middle of the ocean where no one can feel them. In the last week, there have been several moderate earthquakes in California. Yesterday, a 3.9 magnitude earthquake hit the Midwest, centered in Blandville, Kentucky. Finally this hour, Jim Edmonds' fractured left rib is improving, and he may be in the lineup this evening when the Cardinals continue their series with the Reds. Jason Marquis gets the nod for St. Louis in search of his ninth win, and has already beaten the Reds twice this season, limiting them to 2 runs and 14 and a third innings pitched. Brandon Clausen starts for Cincinnati and comes into the game with a 3-4 record and an ERA just over 4. The Cardinals banged him around for 7 runs and 3 1/3 innings in a St. Louis win back on May 4th. The Cards are 5-1 this year against the Reds, who have fallen 18.5 games behind the Redbirds in the division. Game time is set for 6:10 tonight at the Great American Ballpark. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Heritage for the Blind. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. 1-800-2-DONATE or visit 1-800-2-DONATE.org. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. Westbound 64 at 255 on the Illinois side. There's an accident involving a tractor-trailer truck, and the left center lane is blocked. Traffic is backed up to near Highway 157 and is also due to ongoing construction as well, so that doesn't help. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and Mattis. Look for an accident to be cleared. It's on the right shoulder, but traffic is still jammed at Merrimack Bottoms. Northbound 170 at Natural Bridge, there's an object in the roadway reportedly to be a large branch. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason Road, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at 44 and Marshall Road, you have heavy traffic as well. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant, you have heavy volume going on there. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge to Lindbergh, look for normal traffic. Eastbound 70 between 79 and Mid Rivers Mall, look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 at Lindbergh, look for traffic to be building. Westbound 5570 from Illinois 203 onto the Poplar Street Bridge is stop and go due to an earlier stall. westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side onto the Laclede's Landing. Everything looks good. Westbound 64 at Bow Avenue and the 5570 merge. Look for slow traffic. Dealman south of Page. There's a report of an injury accident. Highway D at 94. There's a report of an accident. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. There's never been a better time to get your Chrysler dealer than right now, going on during the summer sales drive, where you can get big cash allowances or low financing on some of the Chrysler's best products. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. For today, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s. For this evening, mostly clear to partly cloudy with a low in the lower 70s. Moving on to Wednesday, partly sunny with a 30% chance of showers, the high around 90. Wednesday evening, look forward to partly cloudy skies with a low in the lower 70s. And then on Thursday, partly cloudy, the high will be in the mid-90s on Thursday. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 70 degrees under mostly clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 67 and clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop my sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop my sister. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
Progress is being made. If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound
that's below me. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother,
stop the sound. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied existence.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 4540400 is my phone number. 4546609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of ways. Get to me, because we have much stuff to talk about. Much stuff to talk about. 4540400. That is the phone number, huh? Well, I think there's good news out there. I think that there's really good news out there. They're still saying no to Bolton. That's a good thing. That's a really, really good thing. Republicans failed to shut off Senate debate on Bolton. Senate Democrats once again blocked the nomination of John R. Bolton, rejecting pressure from Bush to give Bolton a vote on his confirmation. The next phase is uncertain, but Bush may go do an Enron. I don't mean Enron, but it's kind of like Enron. He's cheating. Well, he's definitely cheating. He is going to, the rumor has it, speculation is that he may make a recess appointment when Congress breaks for the 4th of July break and appoint Bolton to the UN on a recess appointment. Now, this is a big deal, diplomatically speaking. This is a big deal that he's going to have to sneak his boy through the back door. That's a big deal. The fact that he's going to, that his choice for, nominee couldn't make it through the Senate, that they did not give George Bush his will and his way on that, that's a big deal. And Bolton is going to have to come to the UN. There's going to be a lot of snickering. There's going to be a lot of snickering when Bolton comes to town, if George Bush goes ahead and appoints him. There's going to be a whole lot of snickering. A whole lot of it. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
I have just two comments. Last night I attended the thing for Harris Stowe for Bill Cosby, and I really was taken, overwhelmed with Sylvester Brown with his speech and introducing Mr. Cosby. And, you know, I was really intrigued by the convict that spoke from prison. I'm saying this to say to young people, young adults, because something happened Father's Day at my church. There was no fathers there. We went to prepare breakfast for the fathers. We had no fathers to prepare breakfast for. And then I stopped at a service station in Wellston to get me some gas. And was an old black lady in there. And she was telling these young boys, you ought to be celebrating Father's Day for me because I'm raising my grandkids. And these young black men laughed at this old lady.
Okay, thanks. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. One of the things I think that is huge that is coming out of Washington, D.C., is the story of the 50 Democrats that are the out of Iraq caucus. And I think if you look kind of closely, it's very, very faint. It's very, very, very faint. But I think there's blood in the water. I think there is blood in the water. And it's just a hint. But people are starting to react politically. A lot of people are beginning to act politically. There are some people who have been out on Front Street from day one. Congresswoman Barbara Lee, who was on the show last week, has been out front on this. Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney has been out front on this issue and has paid a great price. There are now people who are calculating. And politically calculating that we can take them. We can take George Bush. We can do it. And then, so they are now sticking their big toe in the water. And we're seeing this. And he's even admitted to this. Senator Biden said yesterday, said we're not going to give up this Bolton issue. The White House needs to give us what we want. The Democrats are saying we're not scared anymore of being painted as obstructionists. We're going to be fighters. Biden has said, I want to be president. So that's why he's coming out front on this. So there's a combo of things going on in Washington, D.C. right now. There's a combination of people that have always been there on the issue, people like Barbara Lee, people like Cynthia McKinney, people like Maxine Waters. They've always been there, first part. And John Conyers, can't forget John Conyers, always been there. Always been there on the front line of this issue and often at great political risk and true cost. Not, we're not talking about the James or the Robert Byrd, I've suffered so much for 40 years, I've had to be a United States Senator after I was a Klansman. We're not talking about that kind of suffering. We're talking about the true losing your gig, being assailed in the paper, being attacked daily by everything that the media can throw at you. We're talking about that kind of suffering. And then we have folks that are thinking, okay, maybe we can take him. Maybe the people are not going to be as mad as they told us that they were going to be mad. And then there are the opportunists that are bringing up the rear, saying, I think I might be able to get a job promotion if I embrace telling the truth about this war and fighting the real battles. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
All right. I want you to try to explain to me, why are they deadlocked in Mississippi on that Klansman?
I can't explain. The former mayor of this town. He was the mayor in 1990. He got up and he said, of this terrorist, this white murdering terrorist, he said that, yeah, the Klan has done good things in this town. Klan, nothing wrong with the Klan, and this is a good old boy, and it wouldn't be right to put him away. So, if you have the mayor of the town, ex-mayor of the town, saying stuff like that, it should come as no surprise that remember, the state of Mississippi, not one single senator signed on to the resolution that was supposed to be an apology for not passing lynching laws. Not one senator signed on to it. So should it come as a surprise to any of us that jury is deadlocked?
Not really. And I got one more comment, Liz.
Sure.
They did a study. A black man that go to jail, only 6% get a job. But a black man without a record, 16% get a job. But the white man that go to jail and get out and get a job, he equal the black man without a record. Ain't that something?
These are amazing times that we live in. These truly are. True,
good
true.
Morning.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. you need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. And I guess I need to talk a little bit more about the type of suffering that James Byrd describes in his new memoir. He talks about how the fact that he was a Klan member has taught him in a very graphic way what one major mistake can do to one's life, career, and reputation. Spoken as a man of 40 years serving in the United States Senate, the most powerful job in this country outside of the presidency. He describes his suffering. And I think that there's some more of that type of James Robert Byrd suffering going on. And I'm not talking about the James Bird type of suffering where you have a noose tied around your neck and you're drugged to your death in Texas. I'm not talking about that kind of suffering. I'm talking about the real kind of suffering, the Robert Bird kind of suffering, of having to say that you were a member of a fraternal organization made up of doctors, lawyers, and other people. But I need to talk to you about this other kind of suffering that is going on. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld is considering new top command assignments. And one of the people that he is going to promote, he's looking to promote, is Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez. Who is that? Oh, he's the former commander of Abu Ghraib during the abuse scandal. See, this is the Robert Byrd suffering that I'm talking about. You get to preside over Abu Ghraib when everybody under your command is going buck wild, abusing people left and right. How do we know? Because we have pictures. We know because we have pictures. We've seen them. And the dude that's in charge of the prison at this time, he's going to Disney World. He's going to get a promotion. Ain't that a blip? Ain't that a blip? Now, in all fairness to General Sanchez, anybody feel a little Hispanic vote thing going on here? In fairness to General Sanchez, Lieutenant General Sanchez, in fairness to him, that an army inquiry has cleared him of any wrongdoing. But that's like going to your going to your best friend, you know, and asking him, was I guilty of that? Nope. These are amazing times. The guy who was in charge of Abu Ghraib, when the pictures, and not all the pictures have come out, Donald Rumsfeld has seen all of the pictures. Donald Rumsfeld knows things that you will never know about how nasty, dirty, abusive, sick, twisted, tortured the actions directed against the prisoners at Abu Ghraib was. We know we saw the pictures of some of it. The man that was in charge of Abu Ghraib is getting a promotion. A promotion. These things have to be fought in a different way. They just have to be fought in a different way. And although many people in this administration, many people in the upper levels of our good government are not fighting this the way that it should be, there's resistance. There is resistance. And out of all, of course, where else are we showing resistance from our allies? Take a walk with me to Milan, Italy. Milan, Italy, where our allies reside. They have begun, our allies have begun to resist our secretive role in spiriting away terrorist suspects. Italy is investigating the disappearance of one person who's accused as a militant. They're investigating it as a kidnapping. Sweden wrote rules to assist its authority over outside agencies, and Canada is holding hearings after one of its citizens was sent to Syria. And at least two of those cases bear the mark of our good government, CIA's extraordinary rendition program, where this administration has transferred dozens of suspects to third countries without court approval, subjecting them to terrorism. In Italy, there was a man, an Egyptian-born man, identified as Abu Omar. He was vanished off the streets of Milan 2 years ago, bundled into a van flown back to Egypt from a joint U.S.-Italian air base. According to the prosecutor in Milan, the prosecution is certain that this was a kidnapping. Italian news reports say that the CIA was believed to have played a role in the disappearance, and opposition politicians have demanded explanations from the government of Premier Silvio Berlusconi, a close ally of George W. Bush. They're resisting, they're exposing what this country is resisting and doesn't want to expose. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We're taking a break. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. We have much to talk about.
For the media. For the millions of Africans chained to the slave ships. For the millions of scars on their backs and face by the bullwhip. For the millions who jumped overboard. For the blood that poured on the shores of North America, South America, Central America, and Europe. And each ripple in the ocean is a grave for an African who refused to be a slave. For the millions who cut the cane, pick the cotton, whose names have been forgotten, whose flesh has rotten with the trees they hung us from. Cut out our tongues, cut off our hands if we played the drums. For the millions, for the millions.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Heritage for the Blind. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and Mattis Road, the right lane is closed due to clear and earlier accident. Traffic is backed up at Merrimack Bottom this hour. Eastbound 40 at Timberlake Manor, an accident cleared to the shoulder. Traffic is slow in pockets near Clarkson all the way into Mason. Southbound 270 on the ramp of Manchester, there's a report of an abandoned vehicle in the right lane. Eastbound 70 at 94 and Blanchett Bridge, major road construction. Two left lanes are closed. Traffic is jammed approaching 94. Eastbound 44 from Antire to Merrimack River Bridge. Expect normal traffic for your 7:30 hour. Eastbound 44 from Antire to Merrimack River is go. Northbound 270 from bumper is bumper to bumper from in pockets from 44 all the way to Big Bend. Westbound 270 from 367 to Washington Elizabeth, everything looks good. Westbound 255 from Telegraph to 55, everything is on the move. Eastbound 70 between 79 and Mid River Small, look for a very heavy volume this hour. Eastbound 40 from Spady to Lindbergh has got a heavy volume as well. Westbound 5570 from Illinois 203 to Poplar Street Bridge is stop and go due to an earlier stall. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from 5570 to Illinois Bank, look for heavy volume in the left ramp there. Westbound 64 at 25th and 5570 that merge as Slow and Dealman south of Page. There's still a report of an injury accident. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Heritage for the Blind. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. That's 1-800-2-DONATE. Or you can visit 1-800-2-DONATE.org for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. For today, mostly sunny, a high in the upper 80s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 70s. Wednesday, partly sunny with a 30% chance of showers, high around 90. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 70s. And then on Thursday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-90s. Currently, it's studios of AM 920 WGNU. We have 71 degrees under mostly clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 68 and clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. We'll take another look at your news, your traffic, and your weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
To me, summer is family time, a time to spend with the kids doing stuff we all love to do, which is why we go to Worlds of Fun. That and the fact that they have lots of coasters. Mamba, Timberwolf, Spinning Dragons, Boomerang. I like to ride them all. Of course, Worlds of Fun has stuff for the kids, too. Mine loved the new Peanuts Playhouse at Camp Snoopy. They played and played. Took a little break, and then played and played some more. Then, if we need to cool off, we go to Oceans of Fun, where we ride the water slides, Typhoon and Diamond Head, and then the tube ride, Caribbean Cooler, Aruba Tuba, and Hurricane Falls. And finally, the wave pool. Another great thing is we can stay the night at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort. Talk about easy.
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun. Do one park or do both with the ride and slide ticket.
It's so cool.
Open daily. Make reservations for the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort or book your Joe Cool's Backyard Barbecue at worldsoffun.com.
We all know by now never to drink and drive. We know to buckle up for safety, and we know to protect our children by using proper car seats. But did you know that basic car maintenance is just as important in avoiding serious accidents? Simple steps like changing your oil and brake fluid, antifreeze and coolant, checking the belts and gaskets, and rotating your tires can keep everyone safer. The Car Care Council is urging everyone to take an active interest in routine maintenance. For more information, visit vehiclemanager.com.
ALS is a disease that can paralyze the body, yet the mind remains alert and clear. ALS is a disease that you can help fight, and all you need is your feet. The ALS Association, along with WGNU Radio, invite you to walk with us on Saturday, June 25th, at Steinberg Rink in Forest Park. To join the walk, pick up your registration forms at WGNU or register online at www.alsa-stl.org, or you can call 314-534-0610. We'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday, June 25th, at the Walk to Defeat ALS.
Why listen to Brand X Radio when you can listen to something brand new? Join the conversation by calling 314-454-0400 or toll-free from outside the local calling area at 1-877-920-WGNU. For those of you who may be alphabetically challenged, that's 1-877-920-9468. Stop rushing around the radio dial. Leave it here and call in and talk on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Shopping is more than just spending money on necessities. It is a truly energizing experience. I plan on recharging my shopping batteries by attending the St. Clair Fine Arts and Crafts Fair, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights, Friday, June 24th through Sunday, June 26th. I can shop to my heart's content for fine jewelry, framed works of art, clothing, quilts, and sculptures. Then I can check out new original artwork, candles, home decor, and photographic arts. I especially like meeting my favorite artisans and crafters and the top independent vendors in the area. I've even heard there will be exotic animals for sale. Do join me, won't you, at the St. Clair Fine Arts and Crafts Fair, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights, Friday, June 24th through Sunday, June 26th. Sponsored by Custom Cage Works and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more information at www.spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Keep on pushing. I can't stop now. I move up, I need a higher.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. This Sunday, I am going to be part of a panel discussion on foreign policy. There's going to be Juan Gabriel Gomez, a former member of the United States Appointed Truth Commission for El Salvador. He's going to speak on the war on drugs and its deadly impacts on communities of color in Colombia and in here in the United States. Michael McPherson, an African-American Gulf War veteran and executive director of Veterans for Peace, is going to address the failure of the United States' occupation of Iraq. Johnson Young Lancaster is going to discuss the situation in Cuba. Diane Lee, a professor at St. Louis Community College at Forest Park and a human rights activist, was part of a delegation to Palestine, Israel, and she's going to be speaking about what she witnessed. Harold Compere of Concerned Haitians and Friends will address United States involvement in the removal of Jean-Bertrand Aristide from Haiti, and I will be participating in a discussion about Venezuela this Sunday at the Regional Arts Commission building that's on Del Mar, right across the street from the pageant, from 3:30 to 6 p.m. So come on and let's have some foreign. All of this stuff is connected. What's happening in Haiti? What's happening in El Salvador? What's happening in Palestine with the Palestinians? What's happening all over the world is connected. It's not just the United States. It's not just the things that happen within the borders of the United States. Come on out to the Regional Arts Commission building that's right across the street from the pageant Sunday from 3:30 to 6 p.m. And we're going to have this great discussion and great audience participation. So come on out. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. We have much to discuss. Much, much, much to discuss. If you think about it, about what is happening in our good government, what has happened with what the Downing Street memo reveals, if we track it down, if we trace it down to its raw components, I think it's fair to say that we can conclude that almost 2,000 Americans have died, so that the Republicans could take the Senate. I think when you track it down to its barest components, that's what has happened. There was an author by the name of Tom Hartman who wrote, Richard Nixon authorized the Watergate burglary and the subsequent cover-up to advance his own political ambitions. That's what it was. It was political ego. He authorized the burglary and the cover-up to advance his own political ambitions because Nixon's lies were done for the craven purpose of getting and holding political power. His lies were elevated to that level of impeachable high crimes and misdemeanors. Okay? That's irrefutable. Bill Clinton had sex in the White House with Monica Lewinsky, but Congress concluded he lied about it to maintain his political power. Another impeachable crime. The real scandal of the Downing Street memos, with the greatest potential to leave the Bush presidency in permanent disgrace, is their implication that the lies may have been put forward to help Bush, Republicans, and Blair politically. If Bush lied to gain and keep political power, precedent shows President supports, President demands that he and his collaborators in the administration may be vulnerable to impeachment. Conservatives say that Bush's claims of weapons of mass destruction and mushroom clouds were a lie of ignorance. Condoleezza Rice periodically does a talk show circuit and repeats these lie of ignorance myths. We had bad intelligence, they say. Really? This was a lie to cover up an even more damaging lie. In fact, the entire world was watching and listening to Hans Blitz, who was telling us he couldn't find any evidence of weapons of mass destruction or any other threat in Iraq. Nonetheless, Bush keeps trying to push this lie to cover up a lie. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. We ain't done here. We got to take a break, though. 454-0400 is the phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's the other number. Get to me, because I'm going to get at you when we get back.
Spring rains, summertime heat, they can take a toll on your roof. But not to worry, call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. Person Roofing now offers a GAF factory warranty up to 10 years on any modified rubber roof, and that includes labor and material. GAF is the largest maker of roofing material in the country and stands behind its product 100%. Finance your new roof with Visa or MasterCard. Free estimates. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Washington. The balance of payments deficit is at an all-time high for the first quarter of the year. The figure comes in at $195.1 billion. That's a rise of some 3.5% over the previous record of $188.4 billion for the last 3 months of last year. This means that the American payments deficit will run at an annual rate of $780 billion. That requires $2 billion a day from the rest of the world to cover it. The payments gap will likely cause the Bush administration to seek action against its world trade rivals. Congress has already called on the Chinese to reevaluate its currency within the next 6 months. The euro is becoming a more favorite currency choice because of the concern about the American debt. And U.S. imports are now 50% higher than exports, meaning that it'll be very hard to fix the payments deficit. For the last 5 years, the United States has been increasingly dependent on the central banks of Asia to cover its debts, and this is posing a threat to the stability of the entire global financial system. And Dateline Washington, the Transportation Security Administration has been collecting extensive personal information about airline passengers, even though Congress said not to, and they said they wouldn't do it either. Documents indicate the agency bought and stored details about U.S. citizens who were on commercial flights in June of last year as part of a test screening program called Secure Flight. Last year, it was revealed that airlines gave personal information to the government on some 12 million passengers without their knowledge or permission. The passenger information was cross-checked by subcontractors and broken down to names, addresses, phone numbers, birth dates, name suffix, second surname, spouse's first name, gender, second and third addresses, zip code, and even listed the latitude and longitude of the addresses. The information was transferred to CD-ROM so the Transportation Safety Administration could use it to compare against no-fly lists. The Privacy Act of 1974 does not allow the government to keep such secret databases and also provides for agencies to make official statements on the impact it has on people's privacy. The TSA says the information is highly confidential and will not be released at any time. This is your wake-up call Global News Update.
Charles Gere and Lori Fulkerson provide a sounding board. Anywhere there's a computer, log on at WGNU.net.
Here's some free advice on matters of the heart. Want to get on the good side of your special lady? Well, all you have to do is take her to the St. Clair Fine Arts and Crafts Fair this weekend, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. She'll love strolling through a huge array of fine jewelry, framed works of art, clothing, quilts, sculptures, and a whole lot more. She'll also enjoy visiting with some of her favorite artisans and crafters. And who knows what she might come home with for you. If you're really smart, though, you'll go with her, keep an eye on what she likes, and then get it for her. You can even bring home an exotic pet from Custom Cage Works, the best brand in Texas. Now remember, the St. Clair Fine Arts and Crafts Fair is this Friday, this Saturday, and this Sunday, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights, and sponsored by Custom Cage Works and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more information at www.spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Yes, Dimitri.
I've been thinking. I signed up with that petition of John Conyers, and I was pleased to see that so many other people did as well. And I did it after I listened to him on your program.
After over 500,000 people have signed on to it.
Isn't that encouraging?
Yes, it is.
I want to raise a question, and you might label it my persistent pessimism, but I'm sure that when I get finished with this call, I'll feel like I want to go out with boxing gloves. Anyway, even if the hope for our solution here is to impeach Bush and Cheney, we still have the Republican Congress and sleepwalking Democrats to deal with. And there's an entrenched power in Washington that no matter when you change the figureheads, someone else takes his place, and that base power is still entrenched. What do you think of the possibility that you taking a leaf out of his government's activities and do the following? They go around the world. This government goes around the world changing governments in other countries. Do you think that the only way that we can affect any real change here is to go to outside help? Because working through the system fills me with a kind of sense of hopelessness, and I'm sure I shouldn't feel that way because there's always hope. But I can't see a real change occurring without outside help. What do you think?
Oh, I think that any time that you have outside help it's useful. I don't stay in a place that nothing can't be done, or that it because and I'll give you an example. A year and a half ago, people would have predicted that that there would be no move, that the word impeachment would never be brought up. And here we are, over 500,000 people that have signed onto a petition. And I want y'all to understand that John Conyers, Representative John Conyers, Congressman John Conyers, is 76 years old. This is someone that has fought his entire career on the side of righteousness, on the side of the issues that matter to people, and on the side of issues that really, really are important to the quality of lives that we have, quality of lives that we want to keep in the United States or have in the United States. So to all of them aren't like that. There are a whole bunch of them. I mean, we have a member of the United States Senate who's been there for 40 years that was a member of the Klan, a recruiter for the Klan. So we have we have a whole lot of work left to be done, and it won't be done in your lifetime, and it won't be all done in my lifetime. But we certainly, I think that the work that if you just look at it in terms of, or view it in terms of, or accept it in terms of, I am not going to expect that I see the fruits of all of my labor. And you just keep doing it because you know that it's right. At the end of the day, that's all any of us are supposed to be doing. And sometimes we get lucky. We get to see that we'll get to see George W. Bush impeached during our lifetime. Maybe we'll get lucky. But if not, the history books will be written with the blood and the sweat and the tears of those of us that toiled on and did what was supposed to be done and spoke truth to power. We have to do that, regardless of if that particular conversation at that particular time on that particular day took him out or not.
Yes, it almost seems like an impossible task, and I admire you for your courage and how you speak out and give us the opportunity to hear the other side of the news and the information that we're prevented from hearing. But my feeling is that, and you're an attorney, that this has to be done through the process of law. And the way I look at it is that the world court could be a useful tool.
Oh, there's no question about that. There's no question about that. I don't disagree with that at all. The World Court has moved a number of different issues forward. The issue of reparation is being dealt with in the World Court. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well,
I don't differ with you at all. Absolutely. Because there's nothing, no one thing is going to happen in the United States. You know, I mean, this is what the United States does impacts and affects the entire world, negatively and positively in some cases. So in order to change the negative things that the United States is doing that impacts the rest of the world is going to have to get involved in it as well.
Surely, and I'm going to say the thing that no one ever says, and I'm going to be branded for this, but don't you think we ought to scrap the Constitution and rewrite a new one?
Well, it depends on who's going to be doing the rewriting.
I
mean, you know, that depends on who's going to be doing the rewriting. It would be nicer to enforce the one that we have. That the problem is not in the words of the Constitution. The problem is in the enforcement of it. And rewriting the Constitution doesn't change the challenge of enforcement. So the problem ain't the Constitution. The problem is the enforcement of it.
That's the force in most cases. When there's a problem, they pass a law, but they never enforce it.
There you go. Thanks.
Thank you, Liz, for this opportunity. And I'm trying to stand strong.
All right. Okay. Keep your head up. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And I just want to underscore, if I can, in these last few seconds that I have before we have to take our next break and get to our guest. If you lie, and if you lie for political ambition, which is the lie that gets most politicians, then you need to be, if you are sitting in the office of the presidency, you need to be impeached. And think about it this way. If you can't think of that, whether or not he has lied, think about the reasons that George Bush has to lie. Why would he lie about invading, getting us, lie us into invading and occupying Iraq? We know that Bush wanted to massively cut taxes on his corporate sponsors and people like himself with substantial inherited fortunes. He wanted to weaken the government protections on environment, the children, the poor, the elderly, the ozone, and our nation's forests. He wanted his oil rig mining interest friends to have more access to public lands. We know he wanted to undo what FDR did by stripping the American workplace, particularly government and schools, of unions. He wanted to roll back the socialist unemployment and Social Security programs. He wanted to eliminate the SEC. He wanted tort restraints on predatory corporate behavior. He even campaigned on this. We know that's what he wanted, and he knew that if you scared people into a war, you would get power. Political capital is always, when you're a war president, you can do a whole lot of things. But the problem is that he wasn't the first one to realize that war strengthened the president's power. Although the people that originally saw it, our founders, saw it as a danger rather than an opportunity. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. I'll be back.
WGMU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The first by a Vietnamese official since the war ended. ABC's Ann Compton has the view from the White House.
It has been a generation since the painful war. The first Vietnamese leader to visit since then gets more than a handshake in the Oval Office. Prime Minister Phan Van Khai has purchased 4 Boeing jumbo jets. He's met Bill Gates. He will even ring the opening bell at the New York Stock Exchange this week. His welcome is due in part to Vietnam's cooperation in finding remaining Americans missing in action. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
The Senate handed President Bush a setback by blocking the nomination of John Bolton as U.N. ambassador for the second time. The president could get around Senate opposition by making him a recess appointment, but it would likely ruffle feathers. New blood is being infused into the search for missing Alabama teen Natalie Holloway in Aruba. The Texas Equisearch Mounted Search and Recovery Team plans to leave for Aruba tonight to begin its own search of the island. They plan to bring 17 investigators, 3 dogs, and sophisticated sonar units. Family members of 9/11 victims are bristling at a proposal for a so-called International Freedom Museum at the new complex being built at New York's Ground Zero. Its website claims the Freedom Center will deal with the international impact of September 11th, but some family members say it doesn't belong there.
Nobody is coming to this place to learn about Ukraine democracy or to be inspired by the courage of Tibetan monks. They're coming for September 11th.
Another family member says you wouldn't put an exhibit about Nazism at Dachau. A dad in Hawaii is counting his blessings after his year-old son survived a 4-story fall at an open window.
I can't even explain how happy I am. It's my first son, and very close with him.
The toddler survived with just a broken leg, but almost gave his father a heart attack. This is ABC News.
Any car company could receive one quality award. But lately, GM has been picking up more and more. Now there's a new study out from J.D. Power & Associates, and GM has walked away with 5 important awards. They're all for initial quality, including the highest-ranked entry midsize car, the highest-ranked premium midsize car, and the highest-ranked full-size car, along with the highest-ranked full-size SUV and the highest-ranked heavy-duty full-size pickup. 5 is no fluke. It's the sign of real excellence. For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com.
Tell me where you are, and I will jump into my car. I won't slow down.
Only one car company could bring high-quality cars to millions of Americans. Only GM. To learn more, visit onlygm.com/quality.
A spectacular warehouse fire lit up the night skies on Detroit's north side last night, and as an army of 150 firefighters struggled to squelch it, the walls collapsed one by one. The blaze broke out at the 4-story building containing a meat market, furniture store, and several other businesses. Former Philippines President Corazon Aquino is fondly remembering the late Cardinal Jaime Sin as a man who inspired respect.
He showed us that he was a real servant, servant of God, servant of country, and servant of all the people. So I hope we will all be like him.
The Cardinal died in Manila after a long battle with diabetes. He was 76. He was long known for his strong advocacy of the people power democracy movement. He doesn't just play a troubled teen on TV. Cody Cash, who plays Zach on Desperate Housewives, was arrested last month in New York after police say they spotted him smoking pot in public. A judge told him if he keeps his nose clean for a year, the charge will be dropped. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Ferrandmeyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a man faces several charges in connection with an accident involving a St. Louis police officer. 25-year-old William Golson allegedly ran a red light and struck a police crime scene van near Union and Del Mar yesterday morning, injuring one officer. Police say he then fled the scene, crashed into a nearby fence, and was captured on foot a short time later. Golson is charged with second-degree assault on an officer, driving with a suspended license, leaving the scene of an accident, and driving while intoxicated, among other charges. The officer's injuries are not considered serious. Beginning today, the St. Louis Fire Department will take part in a nationwide stand-down for firefighter safety. St. Louis Fire Chief Sherman George says the call for the stand-down was in response to a troubling trend.
As of May 1st, there have been 50 line of duty firefighter deaths, and that is 10 more than it was May 1st, 2004. Today, there are 58.
The stand-down includes a week-long series of training sessions, with much of the local emphasis on wellness and cardiovascular fitness. More than 40% of firefighter deaths are cardiac-related. It's a time of year that has been celebrated throughout history, but for many of us, it just means hitting the beach and throwing coals on the grill. Today marks the official start of summer with the summer solstice. It is the longest day of the year because at that time, the Earth's north pole is tilted closest to the sun. In the northern hemisphere, we'll see the sun rising earlier and setting later in the day. For some places like Seattle, that means close to 16 hours of sunlight. For centuries, the summer solstice represented planting and harvesting of the crops, and it was also the traditional month for weddings. Solstice is derived from two Latin words, sol meaning sun, and sister to cause to stand still. As the summer solstice approaches, the noonday sun rises higher and higher in the sky on each successive day. On the day of the solstice, it appears to be straight above the earth, reaching the highest point in the sky, and in a sense, stands still. The winter solstice, or the shortest day of the year, happens when the Earth's north pole is tilted farthest from the sun. Finally this hour, laughing makes us feel good, but there's another benefit. It also may help us cut a few calories. It's no substitute for an exercise program, but scientists say that laughing for about 15 minutes a day uses up about 40 calories, the amount in a small piece of chocolate, depending on a person's body weight. Vanderbilt Medical Center scientists say if you do it daily for a year, your mirth could help you shed 4 pounds of girth. In the study, about 50 pairs of students who were friends or couples watched TV comedy clips in a seated room while their heart rates were monitored and energy use charted. This WGNU news report is brought to you by new maximum strength Zantac 150. Zantac 150, it's so fast it prevents or quickly relieves tough heartburn, the speed you need against heartburn. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Greater St. Louis Toyota dealers. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and Mattis. Look for the right lane to be closed due to the clear and earlier accident. Traffic backs up approaching Butler Hill. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and Big Bend. Expect normal traffic for your 8 a.m. commute. Northbound 270 from Gravoy to Marshall Road is still slow in pockets. Westbound 270 from 367 to West Florissant. Look for very heavy volume this hour. Eastbound 70 at 79. Look for very heavy volume as well. Eastbound 40 from Ballast to Lindbergh. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason Road. Look for slow traffic as well. Eastbound 40 from 170 to Hanley. You've got slow volume there. Westbound 40 from McCausland to Hanley. It is slow as well. Your bridge approaches shape up like this. Westbound 5570 from the exchange onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect stop-and-go traffic in your 8 a.m. commute. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 merge onto Laclede's Landing. It is stop-and-go as well. Westbound 64 from 25th Street to the 5570 merge. Look for slow traffic, and that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your 8 Greater St. Louis Area Toyota Dealers. Toyota owners, even Toyotas, need periodic maintenance, and when it's time, make sure you bring your car to your local Toyota dealer, offering factory-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. That's Toyota confidence. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Mostly sunny today, a high in the upper 80s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 70s. Wednesday, partly sunny, a 30% chance of showers. The high should be around 90. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 70s. And then on Thursday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 72 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 69 degrees as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up, you need to get to me, we have much to talk about. Every day it seems like we're seeing how there is a movement afoot. Energy afoot, actions afoot. These actions, these energies are engaged in by corporations looking to privatize all aspects of our life. In the city of St. Louis, the St. Louis public schools are still reeling from an assault at privatization. We all know about at the same time that we are looking at these corporate acts of privatization, the same time that we know and we're hearing about that, we also are hearing about the efforts or the failures of corporations all over the place. We just had an 80-year-old man sentenced to 14 years for corporate recklessness and corporate irresponsibility. So, what do we have to look forward to? Are there more efforts? Are there more actions out there that we need to be concerned about? Well, sorry to say that there are. There is a new oil out there. And when I say oil, I am talking about a natural commodity that no one can do without. And if you find a natural commodity that no one can do without, and you get control of that, you're going to make big money. So what is the new oil out there? Water. Water is the new oil. And we're going to talk about that this morning with Sarah Krawinski, International Coordinator for the Waterfall Campaign of Public Citizen in Washington, D.C. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Very good. Let's talk about water. Is water the new oil?
Well, from the perspective of some very large multinational corporations, I would say the answer is yes. They see some big profit coming down the road if they can manage, control, and organize water as a business, as a commercial business.
And this is all over the world. I mean, it's just like oil, all over the world.
It is, and the larger context to put it in is that we are entering an era where, due to the potentials of climate change, deforestation, and growing water scarcity, there are multinational corporations that see a lucrative profit potential in water, and this hasn't been the case historically. In most countries today, water is managed as a public good. Water is not viewed as a commercial product to buy and sell on the international market. But times may be changing.
So let's go. Let's come home here for a second. Then I want to leave to talk about how it's worked out in other countries, the privatization of water. But let's come here home for a minute. We have an insurance company that is now getting ready to buy water. Talk to us about that.
I am not sure what you are referring to.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about a particular company out of New York, the New York-based group, international group, AIG.
Oh, that is correct.
Okay. Let's talk about that. Because I guess the thing that was surprising for me was the fact that this is an insurance company, and an insurance company that is now entering into the water field.
Right. Well, we have seen this really all over. In the last 10 years, most of the U.S. Private water companies have been bought out by huge multinational conglomerates that are involved in energy and engineering and consulting and telecommunications and all kinds of things. So what we're seeing is huge concentration in the industry. So whereas our private companies here in the U.S. that have managed water systems, the three largest ones were U.S. Filter, United Water, and American Water Works, have now all been bought out by these huge conglomerates. You probably know Vivendi, you know, calls its water arm Veolia, but this is like a huge media conglomerate and telecommunications. Mm-hmm. And now they own a private U.S. water company, and RWE, which is a big German, mostly energy and engineering company, bought American Water Works. So we're just seeing these huge conglomerates forming and buying up the private water companies. Insurance companies, as you mentioned, AIG, are getting into the act. So we here at Public Citizen, because we have a long history of monitoring corporate abuse and you know, working as a consumer rights organization for corporate accountability, we are putting all of our efforts to opposing this effort to corporatize and commercialize and form these huge conglomerates in the water sector, because we've seen the Enron scandal. We've seen all kinds of scandals when similar things have happened in other sectors of our economy.
Well, let's talk about AIG for one second. We know that AIG is one of the largest insurance and financial company services in the world. We're talking about revenues of $100 billion. And they say that they're now going to purchase Utilities, Inc. And this is a privately held water and wastewater company from another foreign company, a Dutch-owned company called Nuon. Now, 17 states are going to be affected by this. We're talking about Illinois, Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Indiana, Kentucky, and a bunch of other states. How will the local citizen be impacted by this? Because, I mean, the amounts of people that will be impacted by the purchase varies from state to state. We have, like in Arizona, we have about 5,000 people, and then in Tennessee, we have 500 people. Mm-hmm. So how will the average citizen be impacted by a decision and an action like a huge company like AIG buying water?
Well, let me step back a little bit from that question and say that in the United States at this moment, about 85% of our local water systems, municipal water systems, are publicly owned and locally managed by public officials. But as we're talking about the huge corporate concentration in the water sector, these big corporations see the U.S. water market, because most of it's public and local, municipally controlled, they see it as a lucrative frontier to privatize. And that's what we're facing now. So you say, how are our local citizens going to be impacted? The AIG buyout is primarily going to affect water systems that are already under private control.
Right, they bought it from another private company.
Right, but they're being bought by huge conglomerates. So we saw a similar thing happen when California American, which is a subsidiary of American Water Works, was bought out by RWE. Well, what happened? All of a sudden, when a water main breaks in your community, you're calling an 800 number that's based across the country in Omaha, I think it was. This was Monterey, California. They had a water main breakage, and so, you know, there's an 800 number on your bill that you call. Well, you're talking to an operator in Omaha, and it takes, much longer for any response, to happen in these situations. So all of a sudden, you know, when you have that kind of outsourcing, that kind of privatization, you lose local control, you lose local accountability. You no longer have a local water company that you know who the folks are, and they are accountable to your mayor or accountable to other public officials. all of a sudden it's, you know, somebody, you know, it's an anonymous 800 number in some other city across the country or with headquarters in New York or Paris or, so we feel the immediate impact is, that citizens lose, control, communities lose control and, lose accountability to the local citizenry.
And do we know any stories or do we have any examples of problems that particular communities have felt with the privatization of their water, with companies thousands of miles away being in charge of the broken water main in front of your house?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's been all kinds of problems with privatization, and we just released a report called Waves of Regret, which documents some of the worst cases of privatization failures in the United States. And basically what we see is usually when mayors and communities decide to contract with private companies to run or manage or lease the water system, they run into huge cost overruns. The company signs a contract to provide the management or service for a certain amount, and then they come back and say, oops, you know, we need another, you know, $20 million or whatever it might be.
Oh, just think of Halliburton.
Right. It's a Halliburton case.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have huge problems with downsizing. So, you know, the private company promises that they're going to make the water company more efficient and cost-effective, and the first thing that happens are layoffs. Oftentimes, unions are made certain promises, and then the promises are not fulfilled.
Well, and I guess if I can just interject for a second in terms of the jobs component, when you have water workers in your city, because I see them all over the city of St. Louis, driving down the street, attending to the issues, they are people that have to live in the city of St. Louis, and if they have to live in the city of St. Louis, they buy a home in the city of St. Louis, they pay taxes in the city of St. Louis, or they rent a home in the city of St. Louis, and they pay personal property taxes, they pay individual taxes, and the community is made better by having people who work in the city, live in the city, contribute to the health of the city. So when you have a company like this that comes in and privatizes and eliminates those types of jobs that contribute to the health of the city suffers.
Absolutely. In Atlanta, Georgia, where United Water, which is a subsidiary of the corporate conglomerate Suez, when they privatize, they halve the number of employees. From 700 to just over 300, so you can imagine, you know, what wasn't getting done. There was a huge backlog of work orders and maintenance that wasn't getting done in every portion of the water system.
And Sarah, I think that we also have to underscore the philosophy that comes into play when privatization occurs, the philosophy of corporations and their bottom line.
Absolutely. This is sort of the essence of why we have a problem with private companies running our water system, because we don't think there should be shareholders out there making a profit off of water. Fundamentally, we feel that water is a common good. It's a public good. It's part of the global commons. There should not be some shareholders sitting in New York or Paris who are making a profit off of our water.
But then also, in addition to that, because some people may disagree with whether or not a person should make a profit off of anything in the United States. But the other piece of that is that when you have a company that is looking to make a profit, they have to make a profit. So their goal is to make a profit above everything else. So it matters not that a community no longer has jobs, because their bottom line is whether or not their shareholders will make their profit.
That's absolutely right. And I think you started off this show with the school privatizations. And I think all of our cities are suffering from huge budget cutbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing for our water infrastructure, and, you know, be it schools or healthcare or water or roads, these are all what we feel are public goods that our taxpayer dollars should be going to ensure that people are getting decent health care, education, clean and safe water, et cetera. And this is where our public taxpayer dollars need to be going. But, as you say, the philosophy of privatization is that we should be paying private companies to be providing these kinds of things. And
there's no vesting by a private company in a community. They're not vested. They're not even located here. You know? So they're certainly not vested in whether or not the community is healthy or the community is vibrant. They're vested in whether they're delivering not just profit, but a lot of profit to their shareholders.
Yes, and we are talking about pretty heavy potential profits that were speculated by the water industry. Now, they haven't been able to realize the kinds of, 13% rates of return that they were all excited about a decade ago. But we're talking about an industry that had huge hopes for lucrative profit.
And we're going to talk about that when we come back. I'm talking to Sarah Gruski, International Coordinator for the Waterfall Campaign of Public Citizen. We're talking about the very next oil, water. This is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. I will be back after this. Stay with me.
He's calling black people trash to his children. And he's the only trash here I see. And I'm thinking this man wears a white hood in the night when his children should sleep. But they'll slip their windows and they'll see him and they'll think that white hood's all they need.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. When we look at this hour's traffic and weather, this hour's traffic is sponsored by the Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and Mattis, all roadways will reopen after an earlier accident. That traffic is still easing by. Eastbound 78, Lucas and Hunt, look for an accident reported. Eastbound 44 between Chrysler and Lindbergh, expect normal traffic this hour. Northbound 270 is slow in pockets still. From 44 all the way to Marshall Road. Westbound 270 from 367 to West Florissant. Look for very heavy volume. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks all the way into Lindbergh. Expect normal traffic as well. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and Spady. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason. You've got very heavy volume in your 830 commute. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanley, also some slow traffic reported there. And westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 5570 from 64 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, it is stop and go in your 830 commute. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split all the way into Laclede's Landing, look for very heavy volume still in your 8 a.m. hour. Westbound 64 from Bow Avenue all the way to 5570, look for slow traffic. Locust and Tucker, there's a report of an injury accident. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. There's never been a better time to get to your Chrysler dealer than right now during the Summer Sales Drive, where you can get big cash allowances or low financing on some of Chrysler's best products. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Mostly sunny skies today, high in the upper 80s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 70s. Wednesday, partly sunny, a 30% chance of showers with a high around 90. Wednesday evening, look forward to partly cloudy skies with a low in the lower 70s. And then on Thursday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under hazy conditions, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 71. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, your weather, and a final look at traffic in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hello, this is Alfred Gurley, your host of the German Hit Parade radio program. Heard every Sunday afternoon from 2:30 till 4 here on WGNU. Enjoy the beautiful melodies and timely news from Germany as we make your Sunday afternoon just a little bit brighter. The German Hit Parade is the longest-running German program on radio in St. Louis, and I hope you make it part of your weekend listening every Sunday afternoon from 2:30 till 4, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I have the knowledge, and most importantly, the discipline, to make conscious, healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
Your computer can bring you the gospel voice of choice every weekend online at WGNU.net.
Here's some free advice on matters of the heart. Want to get on the good side of your special lady? Well, all you have to do is take her to the St. Clair Fine Arts and Crafts Fair this weekend, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. She'll love strolling through a huge array of fine jewelry, framed works of art, clothing, quilts, sculptures, and a whole lot more. She'll also enjoy visiting with some of her favorite artisans and crafters. And who knows what she might come home with for you. If you're really smart, though, you'll go with her, keep an eye on what she likes, and then get it for her. You can even bring home an exotic pet from Custom Cage Works, the best brand in Texas. Now remember, the St. Clair Fine Arts and Crafts Fair is this Friday, this Saturday, and this Sunday, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights, and sponsored by Custom Cage Works and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more information at www.spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Just a little bit longer.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I'm talking to Sarah Gruski, international coordinator for the Waterfall Campaign of Public Citizens. She's joining us from Washington, D.C., and we're talking about the next oil. We're talking about water. Sarah, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Liz.
That's my pleasure. Can we go to another country and talk about the impact and the effect of the privatization of water outside of the United States?
Absolutely. Let me take you to Bolivia, which has suffered from two big private companies trying to control their water. One, Bechtel.
And we know them
in
from
Cochabamba.
We know about Bechtel with Bechtel and Halliburton.
We know all about Bechtel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the other, Suez, which is a French water company in La Paz and El Alto. And the people in Cochabamba, Bolivia, successfully threw out Bechtel about 3 years ago now and are still involved in trying to make a accountable and democratic and transparent public water company in their city. In El Alto and La Paz, they successfully threw out the big French water company in early January.
Why did they do that? What were their reasons for throwing these companies out?
Yeah, well, in in the area of La Paz and El Alto, I think the best analogy to use is ring fencing. If you guys are familiar with that term, it's, certain areas, and usually the poor areas are left out of the contract, out of the service area. So there were 200,000 people in the greater metropolitan area of La Paz, and mostly in this very poor community called El Alto, that were outside of the service contract. Suez, the big private water company, would not run pipes to their homes. They were outside of the service area. They were ring-fenced out. Then, Bolivia is one of the poorest countries in the Western Hemisphere, a lot due to the kinds of policies pushed on them by the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. But they, the private water company Suez, in order to get hooked up, connected, it costs $435 to get your water and sewage connection. Now, the Bolivian that's lucky enough to have a job in the formal sector earns, on average, the minimum wage is $60 a month, and it costs $435 to get your water and sewage hooked up. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Well, how do these companies make their money? Surely they don't make their money off of these people paying these bills. They must make their money on the where do they make their money from?
Well, they do make money off of people paying their bills.
Really?
But they also, the contracts, I mean, there's all different kinds of contracts, but the contracts usually have a fee that the city pays, a monthly fee that the city pays to the contractor to run their water company.
And do they make money off of running water lines? Do they make money off of that?
Not usually, which is why they don't do it. One of the big problems in these private contracts is that they don't fulfill their expansion, their infrastructure expansion requirements, because that's the most costly. And so if they do that, they want to do that using public funds. And so in the international context, the IMF and the World Bank and the Inter-American Development Bank, these big development banks, they are always more eager to fund, big private corporations than to actually provide services to people. So they will give contracts to the private companies to build the infrastructure, and then even then it oftentimes doesn't get done.
So when we have people cut out of the service, when they're in these rings, that's the reason why, that these major these corporations are funded by places like the IMF. They're supposed to provide services, but in order to keep their profit at a certain level, they make it so that certain people aren't even going to be connected to it.
That's right. They don't do the expansion. They don't do the build the new infrastructure that's required. And in lots of cities in the developing world, you have very rapid population growth. So there's huge, circles, and usually it's the poor people that are living in the outskirts, around the city, and the public services, be it roads or schools or water lines, are not running out to the poorer communities. And oftentimes the government doesn't want to make the investment, but they sign these contracts, and the private contractors also don't want to make that kind of investment. And the contracts are often structured so that they're not required to. Even if they are required to make certain kinds of investments, they are oftentimes not complying with it.
So when you say that these companies have been thrown out of countries, how does that happen? They just stop following the contract?
It's usually a fairly painful process. In El Alto, Bolivia, went on for 7 or 8 years, and people just got more and more fed up, and eventually they organized and were out in the streets, were protesting and making demands of their government and of their mayor to terminate this contract. They want to have a local public control with citizen oversight of the company, and they want the lines extended to all of the communities and to end the discrimination against El Alto and against the poorer communities. So it takes a lot of community organizing. Usually takes protest in the streets in order for these things to happen, and it tends to be a painful process. And then the big private companies like Suez and Bechtel did the same thing. They say, oh, you know, we have what's called a bilateral investment treaty, which means that if the government terminates the contract, we can sue the government. And so Bechtel is currently involved in a lawsuit trying to get even more money out of the government of Bolivia. I mean, this is like the second poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Mm. Bechtel's suing them, I think, for $20 million. And Suez wants to do the same thing. They are also threatening a lawsuit now that the government has terminated the contract. So, I mean, this is just ridiculous.
Well, it's really kind of, obscene. It's really kind of obscene.
It's obscene. Yeah. There's no other word for it.
Let me get to a caller here. You have a question for our guest. You have a question for our guest. Okay, well, I'm going to let that caller go. One more quick question here, Sarah. When you said earlier and before the last break that companies were looking to make about 17% profit off of the selling of water, of turning water into the next oil.
I said 13%.
Okay.
That
right.
was the we a colleague of mine attended a water sector industry meeting in which the big water companies were actually looking at Latin America as a lucrative site of investment, and the rate of return figure that they were projecting at that point was 13%. That was about 4 years ago.
Okay, so 13% profit. What kind of projections are they making for the profit in water in the United States if they're able to take over more and more of the locally controlled water?
Yeah, I haven't seen those figures, but I have read industry reports in which they are actually reassessing their U.S. Profit potential. And in the last 5 years or so, they've changed their strategy. They were first going after some of the bigger cities like Atlanta and New Orleans. And that was so controversial, there was so much opposition, that they then decided to focus on small and middle-sized communities, which is why we see, you know, privatization efforts now in places like Lee, Massachusetts, or places like Laredo, Texas.
Okay, we need to take a break here. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to Sarah Gruski, the international coordinator for the Waterfall Campaign of Public Citizen. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. When we come back, I'd like to get to some of our callers. Stay with us.
With short lines, big thrills, and more water fun than ever. Raging Rivers. Ride the tide at Breaker Beach. Relax on the endless river. Slide, spin, and splash in Swirl Pool. Play for hours in Treehouse Harbor. And don't forget, Itty Bitty Surf City. It's just for kids. Get all this and more, plus an incredible view of the mighty Mississippi, all for one low price. So bring your family, bring your friends, and get more splash for your cash at Raging Rivers. Now open daily at 10:30 a.m. on the Great River Road in Grafton. Save $3 off the regular price admission with coupons available at your Schnucks.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Baghdad. About 2 million residents of the capital city do not have fresh water today because insurgents have managed to sabotage one of the main water plants serving the city. Residents of various neighborhoods searched across the city overnight in heat over 100 degrees looking for any water they could carry in pots, cans, or anything else. One resident said with the imposition of democracy, people now have no water, no electric, and no security. So how are we any better off than we were before? And Dateline Caracas.
The government of Venezuela wants to extradite a CIA operative who is believed to be responsible for the terrorist bombing of a Cuban airliner in 1976 that resulted in 73 deaths. The Bush administration in May refused to place Luis Posada Carrillo under arrest and spent several months denying any knowledge of his whereabouts. Then in late May, he held a press conference in South Florida, and the administration did order him to be held, but only on a minor charge of entering the country illegally. Now, Posada has asked for asylum, and the administration is considering that request seriously. The Venezuelan officials have called Posada the Latin American Osama bin Laden because of a long history of terrorist activities, mostly against Cuba. He was recruited by the CIA in the early 60s during the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis. He was incarcerated in Venezuela during the 80s for his involvement in terror crimes, but escaped and, according to government officials there, did so with the help of American assistance while awaiting trial for his role in the airline bombing. Giving him over to Venezuela would likely upset the anti-Castro factions in Florida that provide a key support base for the Republican Party and for Governor Jeb Bush. The Bush administration also does not want to have a CIA-trained terrorist testifying in an open courtroom where he might be forced to reveal too much damaging evidence. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Burundi, Congo, Ghana, India, Indonesia, Kenya, Liberia, Malawi, Mexico, Myanmar, Nepal, the Philippines, Romania, Russia, Sierra Leone, South Africa, Swaziland, Thailand, Uganda. 20 countries on 4 continents, all with one thing in common. Hope for the Nations is working with children at risk, walking in God's love, listening and sensitively responding to the needs at hand, and promoting the interests of others in these diverse locations, with the goal of turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders. Learn more about Hope for the Nations and get involved in this worldwide nonprofit outreach. Visit www.hopeforthenations.com. www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations since 1994.
ALS is a disease that can paralyze the body, yet the mind remains alert and clear. ALS is a disease that you can help fight, and all you need is your feet. The ALS Association, along with WGNU Radio, invite you to walk with us on Saturday, June 25th, at Steinberg Rink in Forest Park. To join the walk, pick up your registration forms at WGNU or register online at www.alsa-stl.org, or you can call 314-534-0610. We'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday, June 25th, at the Walk to Defeat ALS.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Toll free long distance me at 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget, we are archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. If you miss an hour, go get an hour at whiterosesociety.org. We're talking this morning in this hour about the world's next oil, water. We're talking with Sarah Gruski, the International Coordinator for the Waterfall Campaign of Public Citizens. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. Sarah, are there concerns that people should have about the privatization of water, the concerns that would deal with the quality of the water they would now receive if it went into private hands?
Well, I think, again, we have a potential situation when you have a private company of less transparency when you're outsourcing to a private company. historically, and we have lots of evidence in the report that we just did about current privatizations, you lose public accountability.
And have we seen it in other countries where privatization has taken place? Has the water quality changed?
Yes. I mean, the main issues that we have seen in, as far as water quality have been pollution and contamination of the public waterways, so that the companies are not investing and implementing the proper water treatment, or they're just letting the sewage go untreated into the public waterways. And we see that all the time. Many, many private water companies have been cited for numerous environmental regulation violations. So they just let untreated sewage go into the public waterways.
Let me get to a couple of callers here.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis, you have a question for our guest.
Yes, good morning to you.
Good morning.
I was watching a segment of Out There TV, and they were talking about the fresh water supply is going to be running out or something in like 15 years, and that the only people who are going to have the technique to convert, you know, non-fresh water into fresh water is the military.
All right. Thank you for your question. In fact, we only 5%. I mean, that's a legitimate question, isn't it?
Well, it's certainly true that we are entering an era because of climate change due to greenhouse gases, where there's going to be some unpredictable weather patterns. We also, unfortunately, have the kinds of policies where companies around the world are deforesting, and deforestation has a tremendous impact on water and promotes water scarcity. When you deforest areas, the waterways dry up. So I think the projection is by 2015, there's going to be more than 25 countries that are suffering, that are water stressed and suffering water scarcity. But in the climate change picture, nobody really knows what we're looking at.
Let me get to another call here. You have a question for our guest.
Yes, good morning. I have a comment. It was about 3 years ago that I called your show, and I was talking about the privatization of water, and I was talking about in connection with Enron. That was one of Enron's commodity, was privatization of water. And believe it or not, another one of Enron's commodities was the weather, controlling the weather. So thank you very much.
Enron did have a private water company called Azurix. Azurix had numerous contracts around the world, one most notorious in Argentina.
And in terms of what are – there are people that would make – there are businesses that would make the argument that it makes sense, this is a natural relationship, that business privatization is something that we should be doing. But there are other alternatives to this effort to privatize our water, aren't there?
Absolutely. And the argument I would make is that, you know, we need to invest in our cities. Our cities across this country are being defunded, be it education, healthcare, water, roads. We need to be investing in our cities first and foremost. It's public taxpayer money. It's public investment that created the kinds of water infrastructure that we have today. But we need to keep investing in that. If you look around the world, there are so many countries where the kind of public investment that we made in water in the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s was never made. And so you have so many people who don't have access to potable water. Mm-hmm. In this country, we're starting out with a fairly, comparing globally in this country, we have an advantage. We have historically put, particularly in the, as I said, the 20s, 30s, and 40s, a lot of money into public water infrastructure. But that was, more than 50 years ago now. We need to be investing in upgrading and maintaining and expanding this public water system. So there are things like the Clean Water State Revolving Fund, like the Safe Drinking Water Revolving Loan Fund. But our current government, the Bush administration, is not interested, just like they're not interested in other public services and not interested in investing in our cities, those loan funds are being cut back year after year.
But have they? Is this something that is new, the cutting back on these loan funds, or has that something? Has that been something that has been going on?
In four of the last five fiscal years, the administration has proposed the cutting of the budget of the Clean Water State Revolving Fund.
Okay.
So it happens year after year.
Okay.
Again, we see our federal government having the wrong priorities. We're not investing in public services. We're not investing in our cities. And this is a major, major issue, as we all know, and it's not just water.
Let me get to one quick caller here. Marty, you have a quick question.
Yes, I used to work for the water department, and you would always hear about it being privatized and the water department sold for the cities and stuff to accommodate different funds that the city needed. But these things were never brought public. And I'd like to know how often do they bring this to the forefront? Do people have the chance to vote on the privatization of the water department or the city utilities? Because it seems like...
Thank you, Marty. Quickly.
Yes, thank you. That's an excellent, excellent question. And that is part of the work that we have been doing. In New Orleans, they managed to get a public referendum to vote. In Stockton, they worked on a public referendum. We think that's the way to decide.
And
should
Sarah,
not be a behind-the-doors deal.
And Sarah,
people should vote on it.
Sarah, we need a website address, please.
Yes, our website is www.wateractivist.org.
Sarah Gruski, International Coordinator for the Waterfall Campaign of Public Citizen, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you, Liz, for a wonderful show and for having me.
My pleasure. Listen, folks, I will be back after the news. Stay with me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
But none can be connected to a missing 11-year-old Boy Scout named Brennan Hawkins. ABC's Miguel Marquez tells us more members of his family have arrived in Summit County to join in the search for him.
The entire family is camped out now in trailers that friends and family have brought up to the area here because there's really no place to live or to stay. They've brought trailers up for the entire family to stay up here. And it's the sister is... She's a little bit sad today, but she is incredibly strong. The uncle is feeling good. They're helping each other out, certainly leaning on each other a lot.
A professional search team from Texas is heading to Aruba to help investigators and volunteers there search for missing Alabama student Natalie Holloway. They're bringing 17 people, several specially trained dogs, and sophisticated underwater sonar equipment. Senate Democrats for a second time have blocked the nomination of the president's pick for U.N. Ambassador John Bolton. ABC's Jessica Yellen on Capitol Hill has the sticking point.
Democratic leaders used a procedural tactic to block a full Senate vote on Bolton. They want to see secret documents to determine whether Bolton tried to gather information on U.S. officials while he worked at the State Department. But the administration refused to turn over the documents, and Republicans say Democrats are just being obstructionists.
The president could circumvent Senate critics by appointing Bolton during the Senate's August recess, though some say it would foster partisan bitterness. Iraqi officials announced today that Saddam Hussein's war crimes trial would be over by the end of the year. However, they neglected to set a start date for it. Police in Seattle say a man who was shot by authorities at the federal courthouse there yesterday was angry about child support payments. Witnesses say he was turned away at a security checkpoint but refused to leave and started waving around a hand grenade while shouting threats. Police who shot and killed him say they couldn't know it was an inert grenade until after. This is ABC News.
Department of Transportation? Yeah, you're in charge of roads and traffic, right? Okay, great. I need to have traffic rerouted past my home to make sure that everyone can see that it's for sale. A detour. Yeah, you know, the more people who see it, the faster it sells. Yeah, but I need every interested buyer to see that it's for sale. Oh, and those orange cones? Happy to pay for those myself. Yeah, I can hold.
There are easier ways to drive traffic to your home when you put it on the market. Choosing a Coldwell Banker Gundaker agent guarantees you maximum exposure of your home. Along with local and national sites, they list your home on the most viewed real estate website in the world. They'll make sure there are multiple digital photos of your home online available 24 hours a day using all of their web resources. That's just one of the ways a Coldwell Banker Gundaker professional finds you the right buyer faster.
Yep, holding for the detour.
For every advantage in selling your home, visit cbgundaker.com. Coldwell Banker Gundaker is owned and operated by NRT Incorporated.
Wimbledon, one of the most prestigious tennis tournaments in the world, is in full swing in England. ABC's Tom Rivers has a profile of one defending champ.
The fairy tale that was Maria Sharapova last year continues on center court with a first-round face-off against the Spaniard Nuria Ligastera Vives, and the Siberian teen sensation will be sporting her 18-karat gold sneakers out on the hallowed turf. Also in action today, Enin Arden and the Williams sisters on the men's side. Not serving Andy Ruddock hopes to bounce the check. Gigi Vanek out on number one court.
It was an unpleasant surprise when Chicago motorists who parked their cars legally returned to find parking meters on the street and parking tickets on their windshields. City officials say it was an innocent mistake and meters that had been temporarily removed were simply replaced. David Spade is going back to his celebrity skewering roots by hosting a half-hour show on Comedy Central called The Showbiz Show. Like his former popular skit on Saturday Night Live, the cable channel says it'll include parodies and celebrity guests. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a 44-year-old man faces charges of burglary and attempted robbery for allegedly trying to rob a South St. Louis grocery store. Police say that prior to the incident, Terry Cameron had recently been released from behind bars. Cameron was reported to be a regular customer at the St. Louis supermarket at Grand and Magnolia. He allegedly spent Thursday night inside the store to try to hold up the store before it opened Friday morning. The attempted holdup didn't hold up when Ron Locus, the store manager, locked the suspect inside the store. The Metro East is ranked third in Illinois in terms of ex-felons returning from prison. Deanne Binos, the assistant director of the Illinois Department of Corrections, says part of a new plan to keep residents safe is to hire more parole agents to watch returning offenders. Binos says more agents will mean smaller caseloads.
So that they can visit these people more regularly, check in on them, and make sure that if they're up to no good and they're posing a threat to the community, we can remove them from communities more quickly.
Other programs include the pilot Operation Sentinel in the Metro East, which is working to build relationships between parole officers and local law enforcement. Binos is part of the Governor's Commission on Community Safety and Reentry, which has held hearings across the state on the subject of returning offenders. A recent national study says 2 hours on a Tuesday morning is the most productive part of the week at a workplace. Tuesdays between the hours of 10 a.m. and noon were the most favored. CareerWomen.com recently polled 2,000 U.S. workers about when they feel at the top of their productivity game. Spokesperson Lisa McKenzie of the Portland, Oregon-based online Career Center for Women says identifying what makes workers more productive helps increase efficiencies and effectiveness. Some insights by respondents include creating and using a checklist to stay organized and focused, arrive to work early for a jump start on responsibilities, and avoid constant email interruptions by setting a certain time to check and respond to messages. Other advice is to socialize at lunch, not at the water cooler. And finally, take a short break if you feel your energy level begins to fall. Finally this hour, Batman is back with a box office vengeance. Batman Begins, starring Christian Bale as Bruce Wayne and the Dark Knight, brought in an estimated $46.9 million in ticket sales over the weekend. That was more than enough to dethrone Mr. and Mrs. Smith from the top spot. The film featuring Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie as a gun-for-hire couple fell to second place in its second weekend with $27.3 million. Coming in third was last weekend's number two, Madagascar, with $11.1 million in ticket sales. Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith, and The Longest Yard round out the top five in respective order. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Promise Keepers. Wake up to the true purpose of your life. Promise Keepers Men's Conference, The Awakening, will be at Savas Center July 29th through 30th. Register at 800-888-7595 or promisekeepers.org. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 8 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by HungryAgents.com. Eastbound 70 at Lucas and Hunter's, that accident has been cleared. eastbound 70 between 94 and Blanchett Bridge, a major road construction, has two left lanes closed, and that traffic is still backed up east of 94. Northbound 270 at 44, look for traffic to be flowing freely. Westbound 270 between Chain of Rocks Bridge and New Florissant, everything is running smoothly. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge to Lee May Ferry, expect normal traffic in your 9 o'clock commute. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanley, traffic has returned back to normal. Westbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanley, Big Bend and Hanley, look for slow traffic there. Westbound 70 at Cass, so there's road construction, the right lane is closed. Northbound 55 at 270 in Arsenal, no problems to report. Westbound 5570 on the Poplar Street Bridge has returned back to normal, and westbound Kingbridge traffic has returned back to normal as well. Also, Illinois 159 at Morrow, there's a report of an accident involving a tractor-trailer, as well as Hampton Avenue at 44, there's an injury accident reported. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by HungryAgents.com. Stop paying 5-7% real estate commission to sell your home at HungryAgents.com. Top realtors in your neighborhood compete for your listing, saving you thousands. They'll help you find the right realtor that is right for you. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. For today, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-80s. For this evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 70s. For Wednesday, partly sunny, a 30% chance of showers, a high around 90. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy skies with a low in the lower 70s. Then on Thursday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 75 degrees under mostly sunny skies. Lambert Field is reporting 73 and partly sunny skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Healthy Family, presented by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, reminding you to talk with your children about the dangers of underage drinking. Learn more at MissouriPrevention.org.
Because they're caused by viruses, most of us will get common warts at some point or another. If you wait long enough, a wart will probably go away on its own. But if you just can't stand seeing or feeling it, there are things you can try. Aloe vera is often a good choice. Put some on a cotton ball and tape it over the wart. You'll have to do this every day for several days, but there's a good chance the wart will disappear. Try applying baking soda and water to the wart several times a day. Or try putting some Elmer's glue on it in the morning and peeling it off at night. There are over-the-counter medicines that can speed wart removal. Planter's warts can be deeper and more difficult to remove. Doctors can use a technique of freezing warts out in some cases. The main thing is don't panic. Warts are not cancerous and are generally harmless. I'm Julie Anderson with The Healthy Family.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. You pick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
All men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal security.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. Our number, 1-877-920-WGNU. We broadcast live on the World Wide Web every single day from Xenia to Zimbabwe. Yes, we do, at www.wgnu.net. And don't forget that this show, the Wake Up Call, is archived daily at WhiteRoseSociety.org. So if you missed an hour, go get an hour, because there is plenty, plenty of stuff to listen to. So I think I've given you all of your directives. Now let me take you to where we are right now. I said this, and I'm not going to say it real loud. But I think, because, you know, you don't want to jinx anything. You don't want to call anything into the universe to make it not so. But I think that we're starting to see, could it be a little backbone coming out of the Democratic Party? Could it be Senate Democrats did a good thing on yesterday, and blocking Bolton? I saw Biden standing up there saying, you know, we want our stuff. We asked for some stuff from you all. You're not giving it to us. You don't think that we're deserving of it? Then no, we're not ready to approve this. The Democrats appear to be shaking off the fear of being called obstructionists and are embracing the possibility of being leaders and standing up for democratic principles. I'm not saying it real loud, because I don't want to, you know, call anything into the universe to make it not so, but it, We have, of course, Maxine Waters leading the charge on 50 Democrats that are moving towards this impeachment issue. Progressive coalition of 50. They're even using, dare it, dare we say it. They're even using the L word, and I'm not talking about a television show on Showtime. I'm talking about the word liberal. They are using the word liberal. Dare, oh my goodness. Could it be so? Could it be so? Well, this morning, in this hour, I have joining me the national director of an organization that says in its first line of its definition, this is the ADA, Americans for Democratic Action. They are the nation's leading independent, there's this L word again, liberal political organization founded in 1947. Amy Isaacs, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
I'm loving it. That's how I am. Sitting here chuckling and eating it up.
You use the L word.
Oh, yeah. We're liberals.
All right.
We're liberals. We've been liberals for 58 years, and we're not progressive. We're liberals.
There you go. Just say
progressives
it.
Are, to my mind, people are liberals without the strength of their own convictions.
There so. You go. What is it? Living your life as a liberal and loving it.
Absolutely. Well,
all
good.
All right.
Alliterative and good.
There you go. So talk to us about how the ADA came to be.
It was founded in 1947 by a range of people, going from the former First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt to the theologian Reinhold Niebuhr to labor leaders David Dubinsky and Walter Reuther to economist John Kenneth Galbraith, historian Arthur Schlesinger, and grassroots activists from all around the country.
David Dubinsky even wanted to start a little liberal party there.
Yeah, he did.
And
it was founded by a group of people who believed that the government had a positive role to play in the lives of its citizens, unapologetically, that it was designed to represent all of the people and to support particularly those who were least able to support themselves, with a very direct mission of promoting economic and social justice at home and abroad. And, in fact, if you go back and you take a look at our founding statement of principles, if you take out the somewhat sexist language of the late 1940s, it would be just as applicable today as it was then.
And you all have taken principled stands on civil rights, Vietnam, nuclear arms, South Africa, apartheid, minimum wages, all of that.
Indeed we have. We were the first organization, not the first people, I don't want to overstate it, but we were the first organization to call for an end to the war in Vietnam. We were the first to call for impeachment of Richard Nixon. We were equally the first to call for recognition of mainland China and other things like that. One of my favorite photos is a picture of Martin Luther King giving the speech, Jr. giving the speech on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, and he's surrounded by some of those very same leaders that I mentioned to you before. So yes, all throughout our history and going through to today, we head up the group that is working for a fair minimum wage, trying to get it increased. We are ardent in our opposition to some of these absolutely tremendously awful judicial nominees that the president has put forth.
Well, I was ticked off. I was ticked off when
this compromise.
The sellout.
You mean that one?
The sellout. The absolute sellout.
Yeah. Well, you know, you win some, you lose some. And,
but we lost
I
big.
I keep saying you can't be in this business without being a combination of a masochist and an optimist. And you just keep beating your head against that brick wall in the fond hope that some of those chips will come out of the wall instead of your head.
Or keep beating your head against the wall saying, but good things are coming.
Yeah, indeed. You mentioned it in your lead-in. I mean, what is going on with Bolton right now is absolutely wonderful in terms of leadership. This man is a serial abuser. He's the most undiplomatic diplomat to walk down those roads in a very long time. And they're trying to cram him down our throats, and they're finally saying, enough's enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No way, no how.
And albeit there are personal ambitions involved in this, Biden has come out and said, yeah, I'm looking into running for president. Okay.
Yeah, that's not new.
Yeah, that's not that.
I mean, it's new that it's official.
Yes, yes. But what I'm saying is that I think that people are starting to see a crack in George Bush's fake armor. You know, well, shame on you for what does that have to do with the rightness or the wrongness of the decision? But nevertheless,
it doesn't matter. The other thing, and you alluded to this, I was having a conversation with the new staff director of the Congressional Progressive Caucus yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking, and I was saying, you know, it's time for people to stop ducking and running when the conservatives, mostly Republicans, stand up and say, you know, you're just obstructionist, you're just saying no. Well, the answer to that question is yes, we're saying no, and that is leadership.
Yes, it is.
It is absolute leadership when we say no to John Bolton, when we say no to Janice Rogers Brand, when we say no to irresponsible Social Security so-called reform, when we say no to keeping the minimum wage at what it is instead of giving people a chance to get even closer to the poverty level, not even above it, so that they don't have to choose between whether the kids get something for school, a book or a field trip or food, so that people can just live basic, honorable, proud lives.
And not live.
And we're not even talking about turning them into millionaires. We're just saying basic subsistence.
We're not even talking about bringing them all the way above the poverty level.
No, we're not. And, you know, and it's a fight, and it's a shame that we have to have this battle, and it's been going on for 7 years now, of trying to increase the wage just to get them closer to the poverty level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we should really be working and fighting for a living wage, but what we're trying to do is get people a dollar and a half more in their pockets per hour, and I don't know how you can tell somebody that it, we're not going to work for that because it's not good enough when that'll make a huge difference in their lives anyway. No, it's not good enough. Mm. But we've got to make it. We've got to make it happen. So there's just so much out there, and saying no to people who just want to go after those who are least able to defend themselves and put down people who nominate people who are just totally unacceptable is leadership.
Absolutely.
And I think we ought to be proud of it.
I really think that there need people need to stop backtracking. People need to stop backpedaling and just stand up and say, ask Cynthia McKinney about how people should stand up and tell the truth. That's a woman that took real personal, took a hit for telling the truth. That's
ADA
what
Vice President.
There you go. There you go.
There you go.
There you go. So talk to us about, this is a really neat thing.
And it's, by the way, Maxine Waters, who you mentioned in your intro as well.
And we love her, too.
We love
some John Conyers,
too. Some firebrands and some not firebrands, but all principled people. And I've been really privileged to be able to work with them.
As they as we say in my community, you got to be tree shakers as well as jelly makers. So you got to have both. One of the things that your organization does is you do a liberal quotient. The LQ. Uh-huh. Talk to us about that.
We were actually the first organization that did voting records. There are a whole lot of them out there now. But we've been doing them for 57 years now. And what we do is we take 20 votes in each body, the House and the Senate, which are designed to display distinct differences between liberals and conservatives,
uh-huh.
or are of such historic moment that they have to be a part of the record.
Mm-hmm.
This comes out annually, and the liberal quotient that you mentioned is a straight percentage of votes for or against our position on those issues. We count absences, even when they're our best friends, as negatives, because if they're not there voting on those issues that we care about, they're not there.
There you go.
And the other thing that has made this we're liberal, we don't hide it, we don't hide it in the voting record, but political scientists and journalists will use this because they also know that we're honest on it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't run the votes and say, oh my gosh, our president didn't get 100% this year, we've got to change which votes we chose. If our president didn't get 100% that year, our president doesn't get 100% that year.
There you go.
Those are the votes we go with, and we stick to it, and I'll throw my body in front of the door before we change that.
And one of the bills that I just been losing my mind over this year is this horrific, monstrous bankruptcy bill. Did you all evaluate legislators based upon their votes?
Well, it'll be one of the votes in the next voting record.
In the next voting record.
From this session, so
because there are a lot that
it was awful,
and they're awful. There are a number of Democrats that supported that.
Uh-huh.
There are a number of members of the Black Caucus that voted for that.
Oh yeah, no, they seem for the moment at least to have won the battle on lawyers, money grubbing lawyers, and that's all in quotes. Please don't think
because I am a lawyer.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about the quote money grubbing trial lawyers, end quote, whose great crime is defending people who are victims of people's negligence. There's that, and then you know there are these horrible people who run up credit card debt. These are usually people who don't have health insurance, who have gone into bankruptcy as a result of an illness or as a result of a divorce or some other catastrophic issue over which they have absolutely no control. The vast majority of these people are not people who are just trying to run the system. They're people who are genuinely in trouble and have a right to support from their government. They are, by the way. I mean, and this is one of the things I'm fondest of saying, and I hope all of your listeners will take this to heart. We as voters are their employers, and they're employed at will.
There you go.
We need to make our voices heard, and we need to remind them that they're our employees. They're not highfalutin political leaders who don't have to listen to the voters. They do have to listen to the voters.
and we can fire them the next time an election comes up.
And
but we can only do that if we take our own civic responsibility at heart.
And if you really want to look at the face of a money grubber, look at the face of John Regas. You know, let's just open up.
You mean that poor 80-year-old man who's got 15 years and I'm supposed to feel sorry for him?
That one, who they say that if he serves 2 years and they say that he only has 3 months to live, we'll let him out.
Yeah. It's outrageous.
Yes, it is.
It's absolutely outrageous.
Yes, it is.
Bleeding heart has some limits.
There you go.
And that one's way beyond it.
You know, you can't have any compassion in you, and nor should you have over people that have the choices that he had, and he chose greed, an obscene type of greed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just absolutely. You couldn't be more right.
So you all are going to have a conference this coming
we
up.
We have a conference and a convention starting on Thursday evening here in Washington, D.C., and I heard that you say that you're on the web.
Yes.
So I want to underscore that for anybody who is in this area, particularly students. We're trying very hard to get students to come, so we're giving them free registration. But we do want people to register so we can plan. And they need to go to our website, which is adactin.org, to register. There's a form for not students as well as for students. And we'd love to see them there. The conference is the first day and a half, beginning at 7 o'clock Thursday night and going through all through Friday, with a whole series of very interesting panels and many congressional leaders as well as academics and others. And then on Saturday and Sunday is our convention where we develop ADA's policy for the coming months and years. And people are welcome. We would love to have them.
And we're going to take a quick break here. I'm talking to Amy Isaacs, the National Director of Americans for Democratic Action. This is Liz Brown, and we're going to take a quick break, folks. We will be back. You need to stay with us. We have much, much more to talk about. Amy, when we come back, I'd like to talk about some of the campaigns that you all have engaged in.
Okay.
All right. I will be back, folks. Stay with us.
Paralyze the body, yet the mind remains alert and clear. ALS is a disease that you can help fight, and all you need is your feet. The ALS Association, along with WGNU Radio, invite you to walk with us on Saturday, June 25th at Steinberg Rink in Forest Park. To join the walk, pick up your registration forms at WGNU or register online at www.alsa-stl.org, or you can call 314-534-0610. We'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday, June 25th, at the Walk to Defeat ALS.
With all the recent news on prescription pain relievers, you may be asking what's right for you. Talk to your doctor and ask about Advil. The fact is, neither Celebrex nor Vioxx has been proven to be more effective on tough pain than Advil. Advil has been trusted by millions for over 20 years. Ask your doctor if the strong, trusted pain relief of Advil is right for your kind of pain.
Use as directed for occasional pain only. Do not exceed 10 days. Talk to your doctor if pain persists. Brands or trademarks of their respective owners.
Where are you folks headed this summer? The beach, the mountains, the world's scariest roller coaster? Well, no matter where you're headed, be sure to stay with the Connaught Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels, because they're offering triple Southwest Airlines Rapid Rewards credit with every qualifying stay this summer. Call 800-4-CHOICE or visit choicehotels.com for details. We'll see you there.
Receive 1.5 credits instead of 0.5 credits for qualifying stays with arrival between June 1st and August 31st, 2005. All Rapid Rewards rules and regulations apply.
I am Elder Rolitha Cutts, and I am the host of the Victory Through Praises radio broadcast ministry on Saturdays from 4:30 to 5 p.m. We are a ministry that believes in encouraging the body of Christ and people everywhere to just continue on in life and be encouraged and know that you can make it through anything that happens in life. Once again, that's Victory Through Praises radio broadcast ministry on Saturdays, 4:30 to 5 p.m.
time to shake, rattle, and roll with 50s at the Hop in Branson, Missouri.
It's your party.
And you don't have to cry.
So you can rock around the clock with 50s at the Hop in Branson, Missouri.
So come on and splish splash with Alley-Oop, Peggy Sue, and Jim Dandy.
Go, Jim Dandy, go!
At 50s at the Hop in Branson, Missouri.
Call 417-335-5300. That's 417-335-5300.
Go, Jim Dandy, go!
Hey, everybody.
Shout! 50s at the Hop!
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I heard he sang a good song. I heard he had a style. And so I came to see him and listen for a while.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. And 454-6609 is the fax, local fax. The long distance toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget we broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. I am talking to Amy Isaacs, the National Director of Americans for Democratic Action, that is the ADA, the oldest independent liberal lobbying organization in the spirit of the New Deal, and ADA founder Eleanor Roosevelt. Amy, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz.
When you look at the different campaigns that you've had over the last, oh, let's just narrow it down to 4 years, what are the campaigns that are the ones that are most important to you?
Well, I think there are two that we've worked on, and we're actually still working on. One is the campaign for a fair minimum wage, and I talked about that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get the minimum wage raised so that people who are living in poverty are getting a little tiny bit of relief, not nearly as much as they want, but or need or deserve, not just want, by the way. But so that they can live more comfortable lives. So that is one of them, and we're continuing on that, and we'll probably continue on that even if and when we do succeed, we'll start all over again, because as I said earlier, it's just getting them closer to the poverty level. It's not getting people over the poverty level. And that really is ultimately our goal. But in the meantime, we want to help them a little bit along the way. And the second one is one that we started before the last election campaign, as the nominating process was going on, and we were focusing on Democratic candidates. We called this project Regime Change 2004. That one entered into two phases. One, the first one was working in, particularly in Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina, trying to connect the dots between global trade policy and the hardships that people, their families, and their communities were seeing every day as jobs march relentlessly overseas. And what we were trying in that first phase was to educate voters in those states where politics really is wholesale, so that when the candidates showed up in their living rooms, they could not only ask them the questions, but they could ask them the follow-up questions and knew what to expect. So we did orientations and trainings, and we worked with voters in those three states at first and then in other states later.
And what were the states?
Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina were the initial ones.
Okay.
And, excuse me, and we had some success. Both Governor Dean and John Kerry modified their positions. And, in fact, when our organizer in Iowa called me and said that Senator Kerry had changed his position and we had it all in writing, I said, great, when he gets back to the Senate, we can beat him over the head with it. Who knew he was going to be the nominee at that point? It was one of those moments. After the nomination, we turned our attention to the voters, and we put organizers in 12 8 states, 12 organizers in 8 states, including Missouri, by the way, focusing on small to mid-sized cities, figuring that the parties and the 527s have pretty much had the major markets covered, and they did do a good job on it.
Where did you put them in Missouri?
St. Joe.
Okay.
And around in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the last ones, so we didn't have quite the impact that we wanted. We're dependent on funding, so it's hard. I think where we probably had the most impact was in Maine's 2nd Congressional District, and I'd really like to point at that one because this is an area, it's far northern Maine, including Bangor, and it's an area where the other major issue on the ballot was about bear baiting, which is not necessarily your typical ADA profile district.
No.
But we did a media tour. We worked with the local congressman up there. We did all sorts of things, and the Bangor Daily News endorsed John Kerry on the issue of jobs and the economy, made it very clear. And as we sat there watching that area go from red to purple to blue, I knew we'd made a difference. We are now starting up again, and we're trying to raise money because we tried to do all this in a three-month period. We want to now do this in a 3 to 4 year period where we're really focused on educating the voters and connecting the dots so that they understand these issues and trying to make them also understand that having a good, safe job at a decent wage, secure job, is every bit as much a moral issue as some of the ones they keep throwing at us.
Let's say Terry Schiavo.
Oh, yeah, as let's say Terry Schiavo. What's George Jeb Bush thinking about?
Oh, he's thinking that he has to pay redemption to the right-wing conservative religious right that has said that Jeb Bush should have stepped into this to begin with.
He's stepping into it up to his armpits now.
Yes, he is.
And I think it's obscene. You know, I'm actually cheering him on. I hope he continues because the revulsion over what they did over the Terry Schiavo case was just amazing.
And he's a real ghoul. This is so ghoulish. They want to dig that woman back up and hop back on her back and ride her into another political advantage.
Yeah, well, but it backfired the first time and they don't understand that?
Well,
I don't get it. I get what you're saying, but I don't get the fact that, you know, these people look at polls, they look at the media, they don't get it.
Let's just hope they stay stuck on stupid.
That's what I meant when I said I'm cheering them on.
Yeah, let's just let them stay there. Let them stay there.
Yeah, no, go for it, guy. I just explained it to me some other day. But
So in terms of your organization and the liberal IQ or liberal LQ that you do.
Yeah.
How does it impact upon the Democratic Party? Is it important for Democrats out there to make certain that they have the highest rating with
your
audience?
It varies from individual to individual.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, those that call and ask me which votes we're going to do, I don't have much use for.
Mm-hmm.
Because they ought to be voting right without that.
Right.
And they shouldn't be looking over their shoulders that way. For some people it's important. Mostly it's important for voters and for the media who helped to get this word out.
Well, how does Harold Ford rank in there?
I don't have the voting record in front of me, but it's going to be pretty high.
Really? Because I am very disappointed in a lot of the votes.
Yeah, I mean, well, we don't measure leadership in this. And we also don't measure We don't measure things that are done in committee, which are sometimes equally important, but because we're measuring the Congress as a whole, this has its limitations.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that your listeners need to be cautious about is that a lot of people you wouldn't expect to get very high voting records in the past several years have been. Joe Lieberman is one of them. And the reason is that it goes back to the no that we were talking about earlier. What they're putting out is so outrageous, even the most conservative of the Democrats can't bring themselves to vote for it often.
Mm.
So you have this skew because the party is led by extreme right-wingers, and it's just a huge problem.
Well, is the ADA going to weigh in on the Downing Street memo issue?
We already have, not in a huge way, but we want it looked at, and we want it we want a thorough examination on the hill.
Because I noticed,
and that is part of what we're working with the Progressive Caucus on.
Because I noticed that one of your panelists is Congressman John Conyers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he's probably going to be speaking more about health care at this mm-hmm. convention than about that, but we'll see.
And also your president is Jim McDermott. He's been
Absolutely.
On he's been on our show before as well.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I've talked a lot about and on the show is the issue of the No Child Left Behind and buried in that is the recruitment component.
Yes, isn't that fun?
Has your organization weighed in on that?
Oh yeah, we did when it was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people are acting as if it were a big surprise, but it's not. It's been there. There are a lot of these little things buried in these bills, and it doesn't do your heart good to read them. We opposed it at the time, and I'm glad you're bringing it up, and I'm glad it's getting more notice these days.
Well, your organization has been around since Eleanor Roosevelt.
Uh-huh.
How would you compare these last 4 or 5 years now under this administration to other administrations that you've had to challenge, to push, to nudge, to get correct?
I think this administration is amongst the most right-wing ideological, and you know, and remember, we're talking about such wonders as Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan. That we've ever seen. He, I think, took a look at his father, who, to his credit, whether we agreed with him or disagreed with him, tried to look at the issues and work the issues as he thought they were best, and as a result, this President Bush thinks, as a result, got defeated. So he's just going to ride this horse as far and as hard as he can. And the devil be damned, as far as I can tell.
So
and, you know, the unapologetic nature for the excuses that got us into this war in Iraq is just one example of it. You know, they went from he has weapons of mass destruction to he's using weapons of mass destruction to he wants weapons of mass destruction. Well, you know, my answer to that is I want to be young and thin, and that ain't going to happen either. So what? It's just silly. But they get... You know, they get the bit in their teeth and they ride with it and they don't care what the facts are.
And I am talking to the National Director of Americans for Democratic Action, joining us from Washington, D.C., Amy Isaacs. I'm Liz Brown. We have to take a break, folks. We will do that, and then we will get back at this. Stay with us. Our number here is 454-0400. Our toll-free is 1-877-920-WGNU. Email is revolution@lizbrown.com. Stay with me.
If your family hasn't been to New Orleans, y'all haven't lived. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan your trip to Six Flags New Orleans, Audubon Zoo, Aquarium of the Americas, and more. Hop on the new Canal streetcar line, see gators up close, and roll in a riverboat down the mighty Mississippi. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today for great hotel rates and a free Good Times guide with more than $2,400 in coupons. And jazz up your family's next vacation in New Orleans.
You know if there's a paradise, it's an afternoon in Jackson Square. Cause if they play jazz in heaven, darling, it's standing room only there.
NewOrleansOnline.com, happening every day.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Complaints by a college student group at the University of Michigan has caused the Coca-Cola company to promise to take a look at its labor and business practices in the countries of India and Colombia. At stake for the soft drink maker are $1 million worth of contracts with the college. Last year, the Students Organizing for Labor and Economic Equality accused Coca-Cola of harming farmers in India by first draining their water tables, then selling plant sludge to them as fertilizer, even though it contained contaminants. They also said the company worked with paramilitary groups in Colombia to harass and harm union members in that country. Coca-Cola officials say the allegations are untrue, but they do promise to audit the labor and business practices in both of those nations. And Dateline Detroit. A Marine who was killed in Iraq in January is having a hard time finding his final resting place. His divorced parents are squabbling over where he should be buried. The mother of Lance Corporal Alan Klein wants him to be interred in a new national cemetery that's not opened yet. His father says he needs to be put to rest now and wants him to be buried in his family's plot. Klein died in a helicopter crash earlier this year, and the fight has left his remains in a crypt in Roseville, Michigan. Now a judge will have to decide the matter later in July. Military procedure indicates that the remains will belong to the older of the surviving parents, which in this case would be the father. He's 7 years older than the mother. This is your wake-up call global news update.
To me, summer is family time, a time to spend with the kids doing stuff we all love to do, which is why we go to Worlds of Fun. That and the fact that they have lots of coasters. Mamba, Timberwolf, Spinning Dragons, Boomerang. I like to ride them all. Of course, Worlds of Fun has stuff for the kids, too. Mine loved the new Peanuts Playhouse at Camp Snoopy. They played and played. Took a little break, and then played and played some more. Then, if we need to cool off, we go to Oceans of Fun, where we ride the water slides, Typhoon and Diamond Head, and then the tube rides, Caribbean Cooler, Aruba Tuba, and Hurricane Falls. And finally, the wave pool. Another great thing is we can stay the night at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort. Talk about easy.
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun. Do one park or do both with the ride and slide ticket.
It's so cool.
Open daily. Make reservations for the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort or book your Joe Cool's Backyard Barbecue at worldsoffun.com.
To find out the answer to that long-standing question, ask the doc. Dr. Pat, that is. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to noon, call in and talk to Dr. Pat about whatever's on your mind. So if you're wondering, what's up, doc? Find out for 2 hours every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to noon with Dr. Pat here on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at WGNU.net.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am talking to Amy Isaacs, the National Director of Americans for Democratic Action, ADA, joining us from Washington, D.C. And Amy, I've been talking about this morning just the amazing place that we are in, and I'd like to get your reflection on that. 41 years ago, they found the bodies of three civil rights workers in Philadelphia, Mississippi.
Yeah.
And today we are having a trial, and the jury is, we've had the trial, the trial is over with, it's been sent to the jury, the jury's deliberating, and in 2 hours they came back 6-6, not being able to decide, 6 guilty, 6 not guilty. And juxtapose that, if you will, next to our good Senate's inability to have 100 people sign on to a non-binding resolution voice vote of a we should have had an anti-lynching law.
Oh, I think it's absolutely outrageous. The reason I was laughing is not because that situation is particularly funny, but because there was a headline in yesterday's Roll Call, which is a local Capitol Hill newspaper here,
which you may have seen, but I'm not sure your listeners know about. But the headline was Senators Apologize for Lynching Absence. And I was thinking, you know, I'd brag if I weren't at a lynching. But I knew what they meant.
Uh-huh.
But it does tell you something. They're embarrassed by it. You know what? They ought to be.
It's
outrageous. That's where everybody should have stood up. It's like voting, you know, 10 to 9 or 10 to 1 not to send condolences to the widow. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
And when you look at where they're Republican, they're largely in the South, although John Sununu held up the Northeast,
well,
you know, up in New Hampshire.
Good old John Sununu.
You know, and Trent Lott, who was called out for his racism.
Yeah, you might have thought he'd learned something, wouldn't you?
But then the fact that he feels comfortable in the environment not to do so, I think that's
very telling. It's quite outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm absolutely dumbfounded by this trial. I'm absolutely dumbfounded by the fact that the jury claims to be deadlocked after 2 hours when, you'll excuse me, I'm prejudiced. I think that man should go to jail 10 minutes ago.
Uh-huh.
Forget about this stuff.
Well, we had a caller that called in this morning and said that you could have just phoned in your verdict on this one.
It's stupid. And it's outrageous that it was all the progress that we have made in the past 40 years. We're still doing this dance. I don't know if you're aware of it, but another one of our former presidents, John Lewis, has said, yeah, that's fine and dandy, but how about apologizing for slavery?
Yeah. Well,
and, mm-hmm. you know, amen. That's exactly what should be happening.
But if we also have the other part, piece of it, though, too, is that it was a non-binding voice vote. It was not an individual, it was not a roll call vote. It was a voice vote. So,
and isn't it pitiful that people need that kind of cover? They're not willing to stand up?
But what does it
Give
say?
Me a break.
But what does it say about our nation that they believe that they are right about their constituents? I've checked the papers. I haven't seen a whole lot of anger percolating in Tennessee over the failure of their senators to sign on to it. In fact, in Mississippi, we have a split. No senator in the state of Mississippi signed on to the resolution. So I think it's fair to say that they didn't vote. They didn't open their mouths and say that they supported it. And here we have this split decision in Philadelphia.
Yeah, what it says is we've come a long way, but we've got an even longer way to go. And what it says to me is that my own optimism on this, I've been saying for years that people knew that they couldn't be open and above board on this kind of bigotry. They knew they had to sort of cover their mouths and say, but these people feel comfortable enough doing it that they've made a liar out of me. And it means we've got battles to fight and we got to keep doing it and we got to keep rubbing their noses in it. And I go right back to what I said earlier about reminding them who their employers are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every single one of your listeners who's outraged by this needs to let them know that.
And in terms of the convention that you all are having,
uh-huh.
Again, how can people find out more information about
that? They go to our website, which is adacition.org, and it's right up front on the website with the agenda and the registration.
And I want to ask
or
you.
Or they could call us at 202-785-5980.
And you want to give that number out one more time?
202-785-5980. And I guarantee you they'll be made welcome.
And the headliners for the convention?
Headliners for the convention are people like Donna Brazile, Congresswoman Diane Watson, Congressman Jim McDermott that we mentioned earlier, Ellen Malcolm, who heads up Emily's list. George McGovern will be at the banquet. Union leader Tom Buffenbarger, and just a whole rank of people that people ought to get to know who do good work all day, day in and day out, who provide their own leadership but don't necessarily make the headlines.
And topics that you're going to be covering?
We're covering a range from defense spending and the war in Iraq to what makes a democratic, and in this case we're talking small d democratic society, to health care, Social Security, the economy, just a whole range of issues. We're a multi-issue organization, and we're going to be talking about just about anything you can think about.
And I want to thank you very much, Amy Isaacs, National Director of Americans for Democratic Action. Thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you. It's been a joy.
It's been a pleasure. Take care.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I want to remind you that on Sunday, I am going to be participating in with some other folks as we talk about some international issues. That's going to be Sunday from 3:30 to 6 right there at that wonderful new building, the Arts Institute, right there across from the pageant on Del Mar. We're going to be talking about everything from Venezuela to Haiti to Colombia to the Palestinians, all of those international issues. It's going to be a panel discussion. You're welcome to come. It's free. And you want to come out and bring your family. This is something that really, this will be something that will help you connect and tie the dots between what we do here in the United States and the impact, the ramifications, and the actual actions of what we do outside of the United States. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, tell me, brother. Tell me, sister. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
For all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. Protesters outside the White House shouted their disapproval at a visit by Vietnam's prime minister. ABC's Ann Compton says it was a different atmosphere inside.
Inside the Oval Office was nothing but harmony, and President Bush announced that he will travel to Vietnam next year. The